fearing revolution to defend your brothers. Stop being resistant.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound, but the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal citizenship.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. Oh, my goodness, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Well, I guess nobody should be surprised. Nobody should be surprised. What are the odds of this? The NRCC, who that? That would be the National Republican Congressional Committee. You know, the one that brought you Tom DeLay. The ones that brought you the Dukester with $1 million commodes in their house. The ones that are either in jail or getting ready to get to jail. It should come as no surprise that this should be, I knew that. Or this should be, and I'm not surprised. The National Republican Congressional Committee. And there are two I'm not surprises in this story. Won't say what it plans to do with thousands of dollars in campaign donations it received from an accused terror financier. Of course they would be getting money from people that they have said are terrorists. Abdul Talawa Abin Ali Ashatari gave $15,000 to the National Republican Congressional Committee. Why is that not a surprise? But then on the other hand, why does it explain a lot of things? 1-877-920-WGNU. And of course the NRCC won't confirm that it received the money from him, or that he had received, given money to them, and taken awards from them. Small world, I guess. Or Republican world. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Aldermanic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Previously on the Lone Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut? Which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show. Weekdays at 5 o'clock. Only on AM 920 WGNU.
In 1990, Tim Burton created a character that touched the hearts of millions. Today, through the magic of Matthew Bourne, this character is back to make your heart soar. Edward Scissorhands, the classic film about the ultimate outsider, is now the world's most talked about theatrical dance sensation. The London Times gives it 4 stars, its highest honor. The Los Angeles Times calls it charming, inventive, and endearing. And the New York Times raves, just bring your eyes and ears and marvel at the inventions of Mr. Bourne's theatrical imagination. Edward Scissorhands, a gothic fairy tale, a moving love story, a dance spectacular for the entire family.
At the Fox, February 27th through March 11th in the U.S. Bank Broadway Series, presented by Dance St. Louis and sponsored by American Airlines. For tickets, call 314-534-1111.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
All of my ancestors were raped, were killed, and hung because of their plight for freedom and for dignity. They died for me, and they died for you. This is for them to know that, yes, we are still fired up, and we're still talking about revolution.
Dear brother, when you go home, here's what I want you to do. We must belong to some organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. Go back. Join the NAACP if you want to. People's Revolutionary Party. Join us. Join the Nation of Islam. Join Bush. Join the Congress of Racial Equality. Join SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. But we must become a totally organized people. And the only way we can do that is to become a part of some organization that is working for the uplift of our people. We must keep the local organizing committees that made this event possible. We must keep them together. Go back and join the local organizing committee. And then all of us as leaders must stay together and make the National African American Leadership Summit inclusive of all of us. Now, many of the people that's in this house right here are put there by the margins of the black vote. So, in the next election, we want to see who in here. Do we want to stay?
And who in here do we want to go? And we want to show them that never again will they ever disrespect the black community. We must make them afraid to do evil to us and think they can get away with it. We must be prepared to help them if they're with us, or to punish them if they're against us. And when they're against us, I'm not talking about color. I'm talking about an agenda that's in the best interest of the black, the poor, and the vulnerable in this society.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free, long distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. We have much business to talk about. Oh. Is it a house of cards? Or is it just what it is supposed to be? I don't know. We have Tony Blair given a specific timetable of when folks, the British aren't coming anymore. The British are going. They're pulling out their troops. They're pulling out their troops. The British aren't coming. Oh, no, they are definitely going. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call, Rudy.
Yeah, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say, you just answered the question in regards to Obama, because I was listening to you yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And when you played Farrakhan just a few minutes ago,
mm-hmm.
when people have a problem with the debate, and I think the debate is very healthy, and I will say that I am pro-Obama, but I use everything that you're saying as a checklist. So when I'm looking at C-SPAN or hear something else, it's like, oh, okay, check. She right on point. So we can't just give our vote to somebody, and that's in line exactly with Farrakhan said, what you played on the radio, and I just think people should be more open to the discussion. I mean, a duck is a duck, mm-hmm. and you have to call it a duck.
But I think that it is, everybody wants, well, not everybody, but most people want the same thing. They want Obama to be the person that this country needs.
Right.
Okay? White folks want him to be someone that will not talk about the issue of race and say it's okay not to.
That's true.
You know, that they want him to step aside from the race issue and let's move on, okay?
Right.
And they want to be validated in their belief that, and their desire that, I don't want to get to the ugly of this discussion. I don't want to get to the real of this discussion. I want to get this discussion behind me. Like we're all human.
Yeah.
You know, it's very difficult to jump into the ugly stuff that we all are uncomfortable with talking about. Okay, so on the human level of that, I understand that. But on the other human level of this, this is messing up my life,
yeah.
and my children's lives and everybody that looks like me lives. We got to deal with this. And black people want Obama as the man who will deal with this. Or the man, or some black folks want him to be the man that's not going to make it so painful to deal with this. I get that too.
Yeah.
But our responsibility is to, especially if this man, it could be the first president of African descent, don't we want him to at least have us on the agenda and say our names?
We have to be on the agenda.
Okay, we have to be on the agenda irrespective of who is in the White House.
That's right.
But for God's sake, if I'm giving you my love because you are a person of African descent, make certain that the person is worthy of it and is going to deliver to you, because you're handing over to him something very powerful, and that is control of this entire country. And we should always make certain that the person is articulating, prioritizing, and delivering on our issue. And what I really, really, really have trouble with in this discussion of this are people of African descent who I understand in some respects how folks get there, but it's a very troubling worldview that, well, you know, we can't really say what he's going to do for us because they won't elect him. So I'm in with the trick, even though he hadn't told you that he's tricking anybody.
Right.
He ain't told you that.
Right.
You just making that up. That's just a twisted form of keeping hope alive. I'm hoping that he's lying to us. I'm hoping that he's lying to me.
Right.
And that's not healthy. That is not, well, you know, we really can't say everything that he needs to say because then they won't elect him. The trick is in. Well, where'd you read that? How you get that information? I'm looking at what he says, because I don't know the man, and neither do you.
Right. I have major problems with him in regards, and I don't want the Jewish people to get all upset, but I have problems with the Lieberman and the Jewish community with that money coming in. I got problems with
that. Here's my perspective on that. If you can speak for Jewish people and their issues, if you can say, I am pro-Israel,
right,
then why can't you say you pro-black?
Well, exactly.
Why can't you say you pro-black? Because you is black, okay? You ain't Jewish.
Right.
You is black. So if you can say that I am pro-Jewish, I am pro-Israel, why can't you say I'm pro-black and this is what I'm going to do?
Well, you need to say that.
Well, you know, but I'm just saying, whether you feel that you need to say it or not, shouldn't you be uncomfortable with somebody who is you, who's saying who can articulate, prioritize, and has delivered on issues for other ethnic groups, but you haven't seen or heard his articulation or prioritization of the one that he's a member of and the one that you a member of? I got a problem with that.
Yeah, yeah, you're right on point with that.
All right, now.
And I appreciate it.
Take care of yourself.
Okay, now.
Maurice? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, Liz. I have a problem with everybody attacking these black politicians. I mean, you're not giving them a chance to even run for office, from the school board of education, from the superintendent.
Well, you first know, of all, he's not.
Obama haven't even got started yet.
But wait a minute, Maurice. Craig Williams is not an elected into anything. He's not in a, I mean, let's get the facts straight before
well,
we start defending things.
Well, he's a black man.
Well, but every black person is not a person that is good for our community, because you're saying you're attacking me as a black person for attacking them, so clearly we can attack black people. You attacking one right now. So let's talk about,
you to attack them, but nobody can attack you.
Beg your pardon?
It's okay for you to attack black folks, but can't nobody attack you.
Oh, you can bring it on, sweetie. All I'm asking is that you have the evidence for it. Bring it on.
No, bring it on. I mean, give the people a chance, Liz. You're wrong.
Bring it on. Tell me how Craig Williams.
Destroy us.
How so? Give me an example.
Give me an example. In the morning, just to
give me an example. Give me an example. Come on. If you want to bring it on, bring on something other than you attack black people. Nobody listening to my show, except for you, and your twisted way of hearing things. You thought that Craig Williams was an elected person. me what I have done to attack black people other than going after black people that are not good for our community. Tell me. You still rattling on, Maurice?
No.
Okay. So tell me specifically, you know what the word specific means? Give me a specific example of where I have attacked the African community.
I just told you. Anytime one of them come up.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break. Now, you don't know what the word specific means. Go to your dictionary, look up the word specific, read that, and then come back and give me an example. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Chippewa, both east and westbound at McCausland, look forward to be closed due to water main failure, and they're actually having some street failure as well there, too, so avoid that area at all costs. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270, look for traffic to be building there. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, it's starting to stack up a bit. Northbound 270 at 44 and Doherty Ferry, look for some slowdowns around 44 interchange. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for traffic to be building in those 270 exit lanes. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through Graham Hanley, look for some slowdowns there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for some slowdowns. Eastbound 40 from McKnight back through Lindbergh and then Mason and back through Maryville, you can expect some slowdowns there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well in mid-span. Westbound 270 is moving well into North County. And eastbound 40 from the Boone Bridge through the Clarkson Valley area. Look for no delays at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies, a high around 60. This evening, clear skies, low around 35. For Thursday, mostly clear skies once again with a high around 55. And Thursday evening, look forward to clear skies with a low around 30. Then on Friday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 55. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies. Our current temperature sits at 29 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 29 degrees and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Join the members of the 7th Police District Community Partnership for lunch as we honor the outstanding efforts of some of St. Louis' finest, the police officers of the 7th District. Police Board President Commissioner Chris Goodson will be the featured speaker with KECK's Ed Goodman as the MC.
This is Joan Grossman of WGNU. Come out and show your support by having lunch with us at the pageant, Thursday, February 22nd at noon.
A limited number of tickets are still available for this event. Don't miss out. For more information or to purchase tickets, call Officer Kim at 444-0047. 314-444-0047.
Do you feel confident about your money? If you're not sure, then join me, David Gaines, each Thursday morning from 11 to noon as we discuss the issues that affect your money on It's Your Money, presented by Heartland Bank. We'll have insightful guests discussing the topics that affect your money. That's Thursday mornings from 11 to noon for It's Your Money on 920 WGNU.
Securities offered through Securities America, Incorporated, member NASB SIPC. David Gaines, representative Heartland Bank and Securities America are unaffiliated. Securities have no bank guarantees and are not FDIC insured and may lose value.
Greetings to you. I am Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to take this opportunity to thank all of you who sent me flowers, cards, and well wishes for my speedy recovery from my horrific operation. And to those of you who prayed for my recovery, words are not adequate to express my deep, deep sense of personal gratitude. Each of you can go back to your mosques, your churches, your cathedrals, your synagogues, your temples, your cloisters, wherever it is that you worship God, and say to your congregation that our God, by whatever name you call him, answers prayer. Many, many Christians of many different denominations prayed for me. Many pastors put their churches on fasts and prayers for my recovery. There were Hebrew Israelites all over America, Africa, and in Israel that prayed for me. There were rabbis and Jewish people who prayed for me to recover. There were Muslims all over the world who prayed for me. There were Buddhists who chanted, and there were those who would do yoga in their chants and in their meditations that prayed for me. There were Hindus who prayed for me. There were blacks, whites, Asians, Hispanics, and Native Americans who prayed for me. How then could I come through this illness and this horrific operation and not thank God for a message that would be universal in its scope and universal in its power to heal the human condition? And so, my beloved brothers and sisters, I'm looking forward to seeing you in Detroit at the Ford Field on February 25th, where my subject will be One Nation Under God. Be there if you can.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly.
Ready or not, here I come. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Carl.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
First of all, I would like to thank you for having Minister Farrakhan on this morning.
Yeah, that was a good one, wasn't it?
It was very good, Ms. Brown. In fact, that made my day.
All right.
Okay, you already make my day.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Anyway, I just want to kind of say this to the brother Maurice. I just want to say to him, I wish that he would listen up a little more, because all you're saying is that before we throw our vote towards the black person, look at their past and look at their record, because if you're a politician, you should have some kind of past or some kind of record. That's all you're saying. I don't understand why some of us don't get that. Just don't throw your vote away.
Well, and that's a person with an agenda in terms of support of, if somebody's bringing me Craig Williams, then that is a person that is completely out of touch with what is going on in the city of St. Louis, what the need of the city of St. Louis. That's like Ron Jackson saying that he cares about black kids. No, you don't. How the heck could you care about black kids based on, look at his record? No, you don't.
That's right.
No, you don't. You fired black kids' parents. You closed black kids' schools down. You brought in a white guy and gave him $6 million. It took that money away from our black kids. You don't care about black kids.
And you know what? Behind all of this, and like, I don't know where this guy is coming from, but
I do.
Evidently, yeah, you know, I do too, because, you know, they're out here.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? Like, all of those would be beat down to the earth, because, you know what, truth is rising.
There you go.
You are a shining beacon of light, Ms. Brown, that cannot be stopped. It's a lot of us out here. I drive a truck. We love Ms. Brown. I mean, deeply. And like just like the honorable mention of Farrakhan, a lot of us love him also. The truth cannot be stopped.
There you go.
This is a theme. Okay, let me say this real quickly. Sister Taneta Muhammad said that truth will be hurled at falsehood until it knocks his brains out. Miss Brown, you was knocking the brains out of falsehood.
Well, what a sweet thing to say. Thank you so much, girl.
Every day.
All right now.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. Tim.
How are you doing, Liz?
I am outstanding.
I'm going to be real brief this morning.
All right.
This is for all the listeners who support Barack Obama. I'm just going to be real brief. I'm a young black man. I'm 35 years old. All I want to say is this. Go back to 64 and 65 when Malcolm gave a speech about white America putting in, they always come up with one leader. They come up with who's so-called leader for the black person. And it happens every decade. It happens every decade. All I want to say is this. For all those supporters of Barack Obama, just remember the same attitude that you have just because he's black. I wonder how many of you would have voted for Condoleezza Rice or Colin Powell in that aspect because they're black. You know, just because a person is black doesn't mean they're right for us. And last thing, you know, walking on your calendar, he will not become president of the United States as long as he has black in his blood. Simple as that. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. Vernon.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Everybody say to be on the same wavelength. I have a question. Why do so many callers call you defending Barack Obama? Just because he's an African American?
Well, I wish that those same people had gone out and supported, Irene J. Smith.
Well, how many did?
Okay, I mean, there were a lot of folks that said she can't win and didn't go out and vote for her.
Right.
And here we had the record of Frances Slay. Those and the callers that are calling in like that are the callers that didn't go out and support an Irene J. Smith.
Okay, let me just ask this here. Now, just look at Clarence Thomas, and he's black than I am. And he's nothing but a rubber stamp in the court. So just because you're black doesn't mean you have any kind of idea of how they're going to serve when they get in there.
Do they articulate? Do they prioritize? Do they deliver on our issues? That's real simple.
But he's very slick because he knows just how much to say and when not to say it.
And that's why people got it. I love the line from my guest Bruce Dixon yesterday who said that he's a fine print candidate.
Yeah,
read the fine print. That's all.
You know when to say it and what to say.
All right now.
Have a good day.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. David.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am outstanding.
Good. I hope you got my email.
Uh-huh.
Great. Look, I just wanted to make a couple of comments. You know, I want to repeat a comment I made. You know, I listened to the mayor of St. Louis on a radio show Sunday. And one of the things that I thought was aggressively ignorant from this person was he thought he could just basically use two urban myths to mystify black people. One of the myths was that it was a young lady who graduated straight A, and she went to a college to enroll, and she failed. She wasn't able to gain entry into the college. And then he had another urban myth. The other urban myth was it was some black students, juniors in high school, that were unable to work at the Arch, basically because they couldn't calculate up the adults' fare or the children's fare from one another. Now, what was problematic about this was he went on to say that he was interested in our kids getting into college. Now, this is what is really critical to me. Now, if you're interested in that and you bring up a slate that within 1 year you drop accreditation points like raindrops in a thunderstorm.
26 points.
Right. Well, I don't know if that happened within that first year.
Oh, the first year. Okay.
Right. The thing that is I think that black people should look at is that he's not concerned about the totality of the situation. If he's saying I'm concerned about students that graduate with straight A's and not able to get into college, what about every one of the students that won't be able to get
recognized from a college based on the school being unaccredited. He didn't have a problem with that.
Mm-mm.
So,
and also, he's a liar. There's
well,
no straight A. He's
saying.
A liar.
That's
you show me that. You show me a straight A student that. Oh, now, maybe they didn't get into the school because of racism. You know, but you show me a straight A student that comes from the St. Louis public schools that failed in the way that he said that they failed. He's a liar.
And
he's a liar.
My last comment. You know, I'm tired of St. Louisans walking around seeing people in the grocery stores that were a part of this takeover by white folks, you know, that don't care about poor white folks or black folks at all. And they utilize these people, and then we see the people every day, and we don't even have enough guts to engage these people in verbal discussion. It's time out for that.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
I'll be back. Stay with me. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Aldermanic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is your Congressman, Lacey Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Talk to me while I'm listening now. While this love has a voice that we both can hear. Before you let it go, greatest love I've ever known. Won't you please?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hi, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Okay. I want to talk about the Mormon religion, but first I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Are there any Democratic senators or congressmen that are is pro-life?
Yes, you know of? I don't off the top of my head. I don't know of any, but I know that there are. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know their names, but I know that there are.
Oh, okay, I know. Heard on CNN. I think three. Republicans, I guess since they're running, they changed. You know, I'm pro-life. They changed to pro-life. I think one was McCain and one was Romney or something.
I believe also. Well, then there's Giuliani, who is pro-choice, I believe.
I was very leery of somebody changing while they're running for election. You know,
one should always question the sincerity of anybody changing during the course of an election.
Right.
Changing
right,
anything.
Right,
changing
right.
their position on
right,
anything.
Right. Right. And anyway, about the Mormon religion, I forgot who, I think that's Romney.
Mitt Romney, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know, after they said that it was other people that was in Congress that were Mormons, too.
Yes.
And being black, I would be very leery of them. But I know that they said, I think 37% on that say the people say they wouldn't vote for them just because of their religion. Okay, now the Mormons, it was a Mormon interviewed on 2020, said they think black people are a curse.
They advocated that and said that people of African descent could not get into heaven because they had the sin of Cain
mm-hmm.
on their bodies. So,
right,
but they've also said that they no longer preach that. They say that, but, you know, there are still people out there that grew up with that, and that's
right.
only a recent
exactly,
change.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think the Amish religion believe that, too.
I don't know that about the Amish, but I've never read that about the Amish, but I have read it about Mormons.
No, I heard them talking to the Amish people on Montel. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I don't use Montel as a resource, but I have read about the Mormon religion.
Okay, just checking.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. John. John. Oh, John. John, going once, twice. Yes.
Hello.
Yes, John.
How you doing this morning, Liz?
Okay, quickly, please.
Okay, Liz, all of my life I've heard about black folks can't do this, they can't do this because by white society.
Who's saying that?
White folks
All
have
right.
always thought that of black folks,
All
that
right.
they wasn't qualified,
exactly.
and they wasn't able to do this. They, you know, and they still think that way.
Okay.
Now, to hear black folks say that black folks ain't qualified.
Well, wait a minute. Who's saying? Wait a minute. That's comparing apples.
No.
Let me explain. If I,
let,
as
let
a.
Let me say something, Liz.
No. We've got plenty of time. No. When you say that black people cannot say that a person of African descent is not qualified for a job is outrageous. I mean, the very first person elected into office, the very first black person elected into office in the city of St. Louis and in the state of Missouri came from white people. His name was Charles Turbin. White people brought him to black people, and black people elected him. And his job was to beat down black people. Certainly black people are the best people to say whether a black person is a front, if a black person is a plant, and if a black person is qualified. We're the best people to say that.
Okay, I agree with you on that.
All right. But what? Where's the but in that?
The but is to give a black an opportunity, even though the chances are slim. I've been under about 7 or 8 presidents in my life.
You're twisting it. Because all I'm saying is, and all others are saying is, you look at whether or not the black person is
qualified for the job with respect to your issues. Wait a minute, wait a minute. With respect to our issues. Because black folks are connecting with him because he's black. You mad because he's black. So let's look at whether or not this black person is going to be as concerned about us as you are about him.
Onion. Excuse me.
All right, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello, Liz.
Good morning.
Why do you talk over people who disagree with you?
I don't talk over people that disagree with me.
I listen to you every morning, and you do.
Okay, well, then keep listening. Thanks for listening now. Okay, thanks for listening. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
I am outstanding.
I wanted to make a comment about parents who don't give support to the St. Louis public school system.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of times I talk to parents, they don't use proper grammar, they don't understand how to say things, but those parents need to understand they have the power. And I believe if they came out in large numbers and put the focus and attention on their children, not on whether or not they're going to say something correct, because, you know, looking at informal educated people, they too can make a point. They too can make a difference. But when I talk to a lot of parents and they don't have good grammar, they feel like, child, I ain't going up there and saying nothing. Then people ain't going to laugh at me. No, go make your point.
But I guess one of the things that I would say in a recent issue, an event, we had over 1,000 people. Were you there at
no,
okay.
I wasn't able
over
to make
1,000, that. Over 1,200 parents came out, parents and teachers and citizens came out, and people articulated and fought for our schools. I understand that is always going to be the hesitancy of parents. It's going to be the hesitancy of parents in education. Some parents don't want to say anything because they think because they don't have the same degree or degree that's human. All of us feel that way we all feel self-conscious on some levels about something. Some people can't even say to their doctor what's going on because that's the doctor. So we all have these issues in us, and I think that's what we, as those of us that can and do, should come out and to embrace parents, the ones that can speak and the ones that can't speak, and embrace them and show them that they have a role to play in this. And I saw parents out there in that auditorium on that chilly, 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 cold night coming out and showing with their bodies what they may or may not have been comfortable it was saying with their mouths. So there are, I mean, in the city of St. Louis, on this issue, I'm seeing it. I want to see more, but I want to give the parents the props that came out when they needed to come out on that night. They were there in 1 week and less than 1 week's notice.
Okay, thank you.
All right, 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on a wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. The truth will set you free.
All right.
Ms. Brown, I want to thank you for bringing me Barack Obama's record. I will not be supporting him. He will not be the president. He has a problem with issues dealing with race, and I want him to bring that up. And I want to thank you for bringing that to my attention. Now I want to throw my attention to Dennis Kucinich. I like what you told me about him. Another thing, Ms. Brown, I want to bring you this mess about Craig Williams, who I did not support. Anytime you carry the water for Francis Slade for a few pieces of silver, I'm going to call you out.
Fact.
And when you say Craig
Fact.
Williams carried the water for Francis
Fact.
Slade, just like that Frankie Freeman, I have no respect for her. She carried the water for Francis Slade for a few pieces of silver. Anytime you work with him, I'm going to call you out. Francis Slade wouldn't even go at my Dr. Borshaw. I give up 100% of my support behind her. He's like you said, he's nothing but a liar. He had the audacity to come out about Teach for America, which was a lousy program, Ms. Brown. You told us about that mess.
That's
and like
right.
I said, Ms. Brown, anytime, I don't care how black you are, if you're going to carry the water for Francis, you do not deserve my support. Craig Williams does not deserve my support, and I'm glad he's gone. And Ms. Brown, keep bringing us the truth. Have a nice day.
You're on the wake-up call.
Liz.
Yes.
I heard the speech on the minister, and I was wondering, on the 25th, will he be having that on shortwave?
Shortwave? You mean?
You know, so we can see it here.
You mean that they will be simulcasting it here? I don't think so. No, I think everybody is headed up to Detroit to see him.
Oh, it won't be like that.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say this quickly, if I may. On the mayor, the only time I hear him say anything positive about black people is when he's speaking at the Martin Luther King breakfast.
And then he hustles right on out.
Yes, sir.
All
yes,
right.
Ma'am.
Listen, folks, I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back with the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Stay with me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are
for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. It's official. British Prime Minister Tony Blair wants to pull most of his nation's troops out of Iraq by the end of the year.
The actual reduction in forces will be from the present 7,100, itself down from over 9,000 2 years ago, and 40,000 at the time of the conflict, to roughly 5,500.
More from ABC's Linda Albin in London.
If conditions allow and the drawdown goes ahead, half the British troops in southern Iraq could be home by Christmas, beginning with the first 1,500 in spring. Former commander of UK forces Colonel Bob Stewart says there's a big difference between Baghdad and Basra.
They've always said, we're going to withdraw when the circumstances allow it.
President Bush and Prime Minister Blair have spoken on the phone. The president says he views the drawdown as a success, adding, this is what the U.S. wants to do when conditions improve. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
At least 11 people were killed in one of the latest attacks in Iraq, a suicide car bombing today in Najaf. The president heads to Tennessee today to talk about health care.
The bottom line for the health care approach President Bush takes to Tennessee for the day is let the government look after the poor and elderly. Let other patients buy and manage their own health insurance. He proposes big income tax deductions for every taxpayer who buys his or her own policy.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. A day after JetBlue introduced its own passengers' bill of rights, a consumer activist is heading to Congress to push it to make one, too. Kate Haney says last week's meltdown should be proof enough that something needs to be done, but she's worried it might take more.
It may end up taking a death on an airplane before Congress really gets the impact or the airlines really get the impact of these decisions that they've been making.
Haney with the Coalition for Airline Passengers says she has a petition signed by 12,000 people. Ever wondered how much caffeine you get in a can of soda? Pepsi's putting it on its nutrition label. Michael Jacobson with the Center for Science and the Public Interest says it's less than the same amount in the same amount of coffee.
Some people will want more caffeine. Some people will go for less caffeine. But having the amount there is empowering.
ABC News.
I love sledding, but I'm so cold.
Let's go to my house for Ovaltine Hot.
All right, Ovaltine Hot, come on.
The kids will be back soon. Let's make them rich chocolate Ovaltine Hot.
Great idea.
Dave's mom's making creamy, chocolatey Ovaltine Hot.
Yeah!
Oh, Ovaltine's made with milk.
Yeah, so Ovaltine tastes creamy, and it's full of vitamins and minerals. Swiss Miss and Nestle Hot Cocoa aren't.
Mom, we're here. Who wants Ovaltine Hot?
Me!
Let's make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Okay, heated cloth seats, all new Chrysler Sebring Touring available. Toyota Camry LE, not available. Honda Accord LX, not available. Yes, essential stain-resistant fabric, Sebring Standard, other guys, not available? Wait a minute, there's gotta be something. Oh, here we go. Steering wheel, Sebring, Standard. Toyota and Honda, Standard.
The all-new Chrysler Sebring, completely redesigned inside and out, with many exclusive features. As described, $21,110, MSRP excludes tax.
The governor of New York is now backing the Freedom Tower, the skyscraper planned for Ground Zero. Here's ABC's Aaron Kuchersky.
Construction is underway at Ground Zero, but until now there had been fears the project would be delayed or killed. When he ran for governor, Elliot Spitzer criticized the $3 billion Freedom Tower's cost and design. Now he says he's comfortable moving forward.
This should not be interpreted to mean that this is the project I would have designed at its initiation, that this is how I would have desired that it be built.
Spitzer called the skyscraper a compromise between real security needs and aesthetics. The tower was redesigned after police raised concerns. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
A handful of states are considering laws to combat cyberbullying. Psychologists say it's just as damaging to kids as the real-life variety, but it's much harder to keep in check. Critics say as good an idea as the legislation is, they're worried it might be hard to enforce. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's another update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, a standoff yesterday in South St. Louis that lasted more than 7 hours ended with police using tear gas. Police say an argument between two neighbors Tuesday afternoon in the 3700 block of Gravois led to a gunshot being fired. When officers arrived on the scene, the suspect refused to come out of his home. Police waited and tried negotiating well into the night before using tear gas to chase the male suspect and another subject from the home. No names have been released. No injuries were reported in that incident. In other news, a 16-year-old male and the two young males who took him from a North St. Louis County detention facility are still at large. Authorities say the two darkly clad young males approached a staff member at the Missouri Hills home in the 13,000 block of Bell Fountain Road just after midnight Tuesday morning. The two, with the weapon, forced their way into a cottage and then fled with the detainee on foot, authorities believe, to a waiting getaway vehicle. Authorities did not believe the 16-year-old who was in the facility was taken against his will. And some news out of Jefferson City. The Missouri Senate has passed legislation to allow statewide cable franchise agreements. Governor Blunt called for the legislation in his State of the State address to help reduce prices and provide more choices for Missourians through increased competition. The bill will streamline the process for new providers to enter the cable market in Missouri. Currently, to offer services, cable companies must negotiate individual franchise agreements with local governments. The House must also pass the bill before it then goes to the governor for signing. And that's this hour's update of WGNU News here on AM 920. I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather for your 7 o'clock hour. Westbound 40 between 94 and Route K. Look for an accident. Right lane's blocked. It's just east of Highway K, so use caution if you're rolling in there from St. Charles County. Southbound 270 at Clayton and Manchester. Look for an accident on the ramp to Manchester Road. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic due to an accident that's on the ramp to Doherty Ferry. Northbound 55 from Route Z through Route M. Look for an accident just north of Highway Z. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the PSB. Look for no delays. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270 is on the move. Northbound 270 from 367. Westbound 270 from 367 through Graham Hanley. Look for some delays as traffic starting to build up this hour. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for delays. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight and 141 through Mason. You can expect delays there. Chippewa at McCausland. There's a report of a water main break and street failure, so avoid that area. Northbound Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge looking good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into the landing is on the move. And westbound 270 from Illinois 3 to the chain of rocks over on the east side. You can expect some delays. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270 to 255. Look for no problems to report. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 60. This evening, mostly clear, low in the mid-30s. For Thursday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-50s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. And then Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. Currently, at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 29 degrees, clear skies. Lambert Fields reporting 32. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers.
It is time for us to use our power.
You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the wake-up call. This hour is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
There are a million things that we need to talk about here, but I guess I want to start with the decision that we talked about last week that came down from DESE. And I want to talk about it for a couple of minutes here about this is a story that has national ramifications. The entire country will be looking at Missouri to see what happens here, won't it? In terms of we have in the federal government the same push to eliminate elected school boards. This is part of a desire of the Boy George and his administration. They want to eliminate elected school boards.
Yes, there is that push from a particular wing of the Republican Party, mm-hmm. to eliminate elected boards, and part of it is, it's really tied in with the push to privatization,
mm-hmm. And vouchers,
and vouchers,
mm-hmm.
Vouchers I see as a part of privatization,
mm-hmm.
but the argument being made, and that there was that pseudo report that came out from Bob Archibald's son, mm-hmm. commissioned a couple weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and the guy who wrote that admitted that the data on how school districts do shows that there's really no difference between whether it's run by an elected board or an appointed board,
mm-hmm.
Somebody appointed by the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Said, but the theoretical advantage they're pushing really is that with appointed people, you don't have to have a public process.
There you go.
With appointed people, you can be letting contracts quickly without having to go through hearings, without having to take public
mm-hmm.
comment. And that's really what it's about. It's about how do you pass money to people you want to pass the money to.
Greasing the skids.
Yes.
That's what this is about.
Absolutely. It's to get it out of the public eye so you can do that money without oversight.
And I would beg to differ with their conclusion that there really isn't any difference. I would say that there has been a difference, and the difference has been negative. If we look at the city of St. Louis, when we had the mayoral control of the school board, de facto mayoral control, we lost 26 accreditation points.
Oh, absolutely.
Points, and jobs went flying out the window. Thousands of people lost their jobs, and hundreds of people made millions of dollars on this district just with this,
and this is one. This is a large school district, so you can't show me another district that has done worse than that, and show me another district that has done as better as we did worse. You know, in our school district, I submit that districts that are taken over by the mayors are worse off.
Well, you know, that's why in any study you have to look at how they define things.
Exactly.
What that guy would say is the 4 years under the mayor's de facto control, he would call that an elected school board because mm-hmm. we had an election to put those places in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know the mayor was actually running
mm-hmm.
things.
And the facts show that the mayor was actually
yes.
running things. Oh, we will be back on talking to Peter Downs. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. And the address where you can send your money to support the law firm that has taken on our case, Save Our Children's Education, P.O. Box 21642. That's P.O. Box 21642, St. Louis, Missouri, 63109. That's Save Our Children's Education. Make your check or money order out to them. Anything you got, send it to them. P.O. Box 21642, St. Louis, Missouri, 63109. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back with Peter Downs. Stay with me.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds, those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU, 920 a.m.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Carl Wentz calling you from the Clear School, second grade, home 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for coming to our classroom. And thank you for the cute African necklace. Miss Liz, school is almost out. I'm going to spend the summer with my family. I hope you have another great time in Africa. Miss Liz, thank you for being you, and you're my hero. Thank you for teaching us about Africa. Everyone misses you.
Oh.
And room 209. Miss Lee, yesterday I received two trophies, one for perfect attendance for all the years.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning
Wake
Up Call.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Peter, we have so much to talk about today. I do want to give the address out. How important is it for people to step up and give money to this law firm, and what is this for people to do this, and why should they be doing it?
Okay, this is a law firm with this basically we've retained to defend public education and democracy here in St. Louis. They will try and stop if the state board moves to consummate the takeover of St. Louis Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
We'll file a lawsuit to stop it. We'll seek an injunction to stop them from taking over St. Louis Public Schools. That's what this money is for.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeking to raise $40,000 because it costs a lot of money just to file the suit,
mm-hmm.
and the judge could require that we put up a bond.
Right.
And that's really what we're looking at. The estimates of the amount just to file a suit and put up the bond is the $40,000 we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. And the address that people should send their money, if you've never sent any money for anything in your life, this is the thing that you need to be putting. $5, $10, $20, whatever you can send, you send it to, the checks are made out to Save Our Children's Education, P.O. Box 21642, St. Louis, Missouri, 63109. That's Save Our Children's Education, P.O. Box 21642, St. Louis, Missouri, 63109. Send the checks because this is we got to have this, we got to pay for this law firm, and this is a law firm who specializes in this issue.
Yes, they specialize in school law.
And they also are very excited about taking this case on because they know how important this case is.
Absolutely.
Okay, so a couple of things, Peter, because we are on, I just want people to fasten their seatbelts because we are on a bullet train right now. There are everything that we have talked about in the 3 years that we have been talking about this is coming to a head right now. We have the imminent action on the part of DESE, irrespective of all of the evidence, to take over our school district coming up in 30 days. Coming up in 30 days is their decision to remove Diana Barroso as the superintendent. Coming up in 30 days is their decision to use Matt Blunt and give Matt Blunt an appointment of a person on this three-person panel. Coming up in 30 days is a critical mass. And one of the things that helps this 30 days piece is something that's happening today.
Yes, there's, you know, people have to realize there really is a concerted attack on education in St. Louis.
That's that.
And one of the things going on out that could be voted on today
mm-hmm.
is a bill we have talked about several times, a voucher bill. They call it the Betty Thompson Scholarship Bill.
And it's the voucher bill.
It's a voucher bill.
And it's House Bill 808. It came out of Rodney Hubbard's committee. It came out of that urban committee that was created by the legislature solely for the purpose of a voucher bill, putting things like this out in our community. It was fast-tracked, wasn't it?
It is fast-tracked. Just last week they had, I think it was last Wednesday night, they had a hearing. And this.
Wait a minute. When did the decision from the state board come out?
Thursday morning.
All right. So in anticipation.
And think back in December, the same day that you had Danforth and Freeman issue their report saying state takeover, at the very same campus, just 200 yards away, this committee had a hearing saying, a faux hearing saying we need vouchers. So they've been running in tandem for months.
There you go.
And last Wednesday, normally. Normally there's some pretense of public participation.
Mm-hmm.
Not that too many people travel to Jefferson City for hearings. But they'll post a notice a week or two ahead of time that they're going to be hearing. So people can call up, get on to testify one way or another. For this bill, this voucher bill, they posted the notice Tuesday night. Tuesday night, 5 o'clock, they posted a notice that they were going to have a hearing Wednesday at 5 o'clock. So they ignored normal procedures for hearings.
Well, it's a midnight voting, just like when they vote at midnight to give themselves raises. 8 o'clock at night at the Capitol, the posting went up for a hearing the next day.
Yeah.
So obviously they didn't want anybody. Obviously Rodney Hubbard and none of the people in this committee wanted people to be there.
They only wanted the people they invited. One of the people they invited, by the way, was Veronica O'Brien, St. Louis Public School Board President. So she knew about it. She's invited. She was there to testify in favor of vouchers.
Jesus Christ.
Despite the fact that she had voted just 6 weeks before to oppose vouchers. School board voted unanimously to oppose vouchers, but she went on to testify, oh, we need vouchers, we all know we need vouchers kind of thing. So they had this quick rushed hearing with just the people they wanted to testify. Then they did a rush vote to report it out of committee. They voted their committee, which was handpicked by the Speaker of the House.
That's right.
Rod Etten. Be voucher supporters.
That's
They're handpicked voucher supporters. So they very quickly voted to endorse this legislation. And the word coming out from the Missouri School Boards Association and other public education folks is that it could be voted on today.
Today. So
today.
People need to call their legislators right now. I've been trying to get a hold of Maria Chappelle Nadal. She's one of the people that was pushing against these vouchers last year. Haven't heard from her on this issue. Y'all need to get to your legislators on this issue of school vouchers. They should be pushing back on this right now. And one of the things about this is I'm looking at this voucher bill because I talked to Rodney Hubbard about this. I said to Rodney that the three things that need to be in this bill, one of the things that needs to be in this bill is that private schools, okay, you want the money, then you have to be as accountable as public schools. Your kids have
Absolutely.
To test. Your kids have, and we should be able to audit your schools to see if audit the private schools to see if they're spending the money like they're supposed to be spending, because public schools, you're allowed to, the Missouri auditor can come in and audit how you spend the money. In this voucher bill, ain't no such thing. It is not there. And I told him that's what needs to happen, and it is not in here. It is absolutely not in here.
There's no accountability in here whatsoever.
Not at all. So this, again, is opening our school district up to we're just a bank for anybody that wants to take any dang money out of it.
And I want to say, they talk about it as being a bill for poor black kids in the city.
Exactly.
All right? But right there in the bill, the cap, if your family makes up to $111,000 a year, you can use this scholarship.
So who's that going to help? Who is that going to help? Little Johnny's mommy and daddy who are struggling to survive on $100,000 a year. You need a little bit of extra money so that you can take Jimmy to a better vacation this summer. You go and get a $5,000 extra that'll pay for his books at his private school, or may pay for his entire tuition at the private school. And ask yourself this. Private schools get to decide who they want to take the money from and who they don't want to take the voucher money from. So think of all of the $50,000 a year folks, the $60,000 a year folks, as opposed to the $15,000
a
year folks. Who are the private schools going to take the voucher money from? They gonna take it from little Johnny over here, whose mother and father working, both of them having a job and making $15,000 a year? Are they gonna take it from little Johnny with $15,000 a year and lives in the projects, or are they gonna take it from middle class, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 families that want to get into those private schools? Who are they gonna pick?
I think we all know.
Think we know exactly who
they are.
We can look at who they're picking now. 1-877. This is, how could this be a voucher bill for poor little kids out here when your mama and daddy can make up to $100,000 and get this $5,000? And what poor kid, what kid whose parents are making $30,000 a year, $5,000 a year in the schools is not going to pay for the school? $5,000 a year is not going to pay for it.
Well, look, one of the better known private schools around here, it's close to the radio station actually, New City School, $14,000 a year tuition. All right, if you're making $20,000 a year, that $5,000 is going to leave you awful short.
And it's not going to make it possible. It's going to make it possible for a $60,000 a year family to consider going to New City School. It's going to make it possible for a $70,000 family a year family think, okay, we can do that. $80,000, we can do that. $100,000, that's just an extra vacation for us. That's free money out here for us. And isn't this tax free money?
What it is that the money comes from corporations or rich individuals, mm-hmm. they get a tax credit. So they don't donate the money to the school, and they get to write that off on their taxes.
So the parent that gets a voucher, do they have to pay taxes on their voucher?
I don't know.
I don't think they do. I don't think that they do. 1-877-920-WGNU. Call your legislators right now. Call your legislators right now. And I'll give you some of the names and numbers when we come back. Y'all, this stuff is happening, and it's happening now. Now is not the time to say, I'll do it later. You gotta do it now. It's all coming together. It's all coming together. We're gonna take a break. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 40 between 94 and Route K. Look for slow traffic due to an accident. Right lane's blocked. It's just east of Highway K. Southbound 270 from Clayton Overpass into Manchester. Look for an accident on the ramp to Manchester Road causing some slowdowns. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Doherty Ferry. Look for an accident that's on the ramp to Doherty Ferry. Expect some delays there. Northbound 55 from Route Z into Route M. Look for an accident that's just north of Highway Z. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the PSB looks good. Eastbound 44 at Soccer Park through 270. Got some slow traffic there. Westbound 270 from 367 through Graham Hanley. Look for some slowdowns. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. You've got slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Spady and McKnight. And then again from 141 through Mason, you can expect slowdowns. Northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge is looking good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Illinois Bank and Laclede's Landing is on the move. Eastbound 70 approaching 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. Look for some delays. Southbound 170 at 270 in Hanley. You've got some traffic building there. And northbound 270 at Dorset all the way into the 70 exit lanes. Look for some slowdowns as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies. The high will be around 60 for this evening, mostly clear, low in the mid-30s. For Thursday, mostly sunny, once again high in the mid-50s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy, low around 30. And Friday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 32 degrees, clear skies. Lambert Field is also reporting 30 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. The St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs is on the way. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DRLAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
This is your Congressman, Lacey Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Casey Marshall calling you from Laclede School, room 209. Miss Liz, I love that African necklace I wore to Red Lobster. I wish I could go with you to Ghana. Miss Liz, you are the best and one of a kind. Miss Liz, this is Casey Marshall from room 209, where dignity reigns supreme.
Hey, baby.
Have a great summer. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Let me get to some of our callers here. You're on the St. Louis Public Schools Watch.
Yes. I just wanted to just kind of throw something out there in reference to this whole issue of education and what's going on with my observation of what's going on with the St. Louis Public Schools and all that goes around that. It appears to me that the St. Louis Public Schools system itself has issues, and we all understand that. We know from students not performing academically as well as socially in the schools, as well as teachers, some, not all, not performing to the level that there should be, as well as administrators and people of that sort. We've had a turnover in the school district in reference to different individuals coming in trying to operate and perform in what they thought was their best of ability or their abilities thereof. But I think one of the issues that we must keep in mind that education is always changing and the system is always changing. And we've been in a position where we've tried many different things, and the things that we've tried have not worked. We talk about you guys are against school vouchers, and I think we need to look at the issue and stop calling them school vouchers, because a lot of people have such a negative connotation on the word voucher.
Okay, let's slow down just for a second. I want to jump in on a number of things that you said, because we got to get to other people and we got to finish our show here. With respect to things are always changing, I would completely, absolutely disagree with that. You don't see these types of changings. These types of things change in districts unless there is an agenda for that particular district. When you look at what has happened to the St. Louis Public Schools, I think to characterize it in terms of, well, we've had a lot of turnover and blame the district for that, that was not the fault of the district. What the turnovers that happened in the 3 short years that caused us to lose over 26 points in accreditation came not from the district being allowed to do what the district does. It came from having a privatization and an agenda from people who wanted to take the money out of the district. Everybody, I mean, it's not rocket science. You don't put somebody in charge of a district who's never run a district, who's not a teacher, who is not certified. You don't put somebody in charge of the largest district in the state unless you are, and pay them $6 million and allow them to obligate our district to another $30 million and allow them to fire thousands of people and allow them to close dozens of schools and allow them to fire teachers. You don't allow somebody to do that, and if they do that, it's not rocket science. The district is going to lose 26 accreditation points. If those things had not happened, then the district would not be in the place that it is, because prior to that, we were 2 points away from full accreditation. So it's not rocket science. I'm saying it again. It's not rocket science of what you don't do to destroy a district. And as to the issue of vouchers, we're calling them vouchers because that's what they are, whether you call it voucher or scholarship or tax credit. They are, the reason why vouchers have a negative connotation is because they are negative. They do negative things to the district. How can anybody advocate to give to a private school public money with absolutely no accountability? How can anybody advocate for that and say that they are about public schools and the future of public kids, public students?
Yeah, Liz, I'd just like to add one thing here, because the claim that we've tried a lot of things in public education and none of them have worked is just plain wrong. We have tried a lot of things that have worked, and you see that in St. Louis Public Schools, where in 4 years they went from 24 accreditation points to 64 accreditation points, and test scores climbed every year. What has happened since then was a deliberate effort to destroy the schools. It's not trying things and, oh, gee, it didn't work. It was a deliberate effort to destroy the schools. And I'd agree with you on the other point. It is ridiculous to say that anything like vouchers is about education when the people who put it up in the bill refuse – to put any accountability measures in there to see whether or not it works educationally. If it is about education, then you want to have the same measures of educational success for the private schools that accept those as you have for the public schools. And the refusal to put in any measures of educational success tells you right now it's about money, not about education.
Go ahead, caller.
Okay. I hear exactly what the both of you are saying, but in the long run of things, we have not yet completed the cycle of what has happened. And as far as the accreditation status, this is not something, and I have to do my information. I don't have it in front of me right now, but a lot of these accreditation points that were lost and that were gained and that was lost and gained again happened over a period of time, and it all
actually didn't. Actually, it didn't. And Peter just told you, and I just told you, the loss of accreditation points, the 26 points of accreditation, happened the moment that Roberti was in office and Slay's people were in charge of the district. Our rise in the accreditation points happened when Superintendent Cleveland Hammonds got us to 2 points away from it. And again, it's not rocket science. The things that he did worked because we were raising the accreditation points. We lost more accreditation points in a shorter period of time than any district in the history of this country, any district this size in the history of this country. No other district has ever lost this. So what do? You look at what happened during that time and you don't repeat it. And every action right now is an effort, every action by those outside of this community that want this school to be taken over is the exact same step. They want to put the same people in charge of the district that caused the loss of points. When nobody in the land of logical thinking would say, after you see what caused something to happen, you put the same people back in charge so that it happens again? Come on.
Liz, I hear exactly what you're saying, but I think there should be some other, and I'm not knocking anything that you said. You have pinpointed some issues that are issues in the St. Louis Public School District, given, you know, Roberti, whomever came into play. But the thing is that we have a system of children. We have an educational system, and this system, prior to what is happening, is more focused now than it ever has been because
focused on what? Focused on what? This system is more focused on what?
The problems of
that's not true. That's not. You may be hearing about it more now than you've heard about it before. But the fact of the matter is that if a district managed to get to 2 points away from full accreditation, I'm not talking about provisional accreditation. I'm talking about full accreditation. It was doing what needed to be done, whether you knew they were doing it or not. And whether other people that are Johnny-come-latelys, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about other people that are Johnny-come-latelys to this issue, if they hadn't been hearing about it before, that's their fault. Somebody was at the helm of the ship and was doing what needed to be done. What you're hearing now is a bunch of calculated misdirections and lies about this district. You're not hearing what's happening about this district. You're hearing a calculated agenda to get people to the place that you are right now. That's what you have been hearing. Because if you've been hearing the truth about this district, you would know off the top of your head that, well, when Cleveland Hammonds was here, we were 2 points away from accreditation, and now we've lost 26 under Francis Slay. That would be crystal clear to you. You would know that if they were reporting that every day, like they're reporting the squabbles of Veronica O'Brien. They report that stuff more than they report the real stuff, what's going on in the district. And that's why some people are now plugged into this issue. Got to roll. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Peter, we have in front of us some of the phone numbers that people can call for the legislators to get to this issue of the voucher bill. Vouchers are bad. Vouchers are awful. Vouchers are no good for our children. And if you have the name of your legislator, I'm going to give you the number of Maria Chappelle Nadal. She needs to tell you what she's doing about this because she was the lead person on this issue. Her number is 573-751-4265. That's 573-751-4265. That's 573-751-4265. You need to call your legislators, and you also need to call Connie Johnson and find out where she is on this issue of state takeover, because it is unacceptable for anybody to be saying that I don't know where I am on this position. Connie Johnson's number is 573-751-7605. That's 573-751-7605. You need need to get to all of your legislators. If you need your legislator's number, call us. We have their numbers in front of us. Let me get to a couple more people, Peter. 1-877-920-WGNU. Robbie.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. Good morning, Mr. Downs.
Morning.
I just get so upset when I listen to that last caller because they really don't see. And, I mean, I'm blind as a bat, but you can see it. You can smell it in the air that it's not about our children.
That's fact. That's a fact.
And I don't understand why these people think it's so hard for them to understand. Just look at what's going on. Look at the buildup in the city of St. Louis, in my area particularly. I mean, in a minute, you won't see anybody that's my complexion that's making, like you said, $15,000 or less in this area. And their kids do not want to go to school with our kids. It's just plain and simple.
Fact and fact. Thank you, Robbie.
Thank you.
And call your legislator. Call your legislator. Alfred.
Yes, hi. I don't understand something, Liz. If the Peter and you get your way now, all right, you get the state out of the school system and you get these other people elected, what's going to prevent it from slipping back like it's been going for the last 20 years?
And that's a great question.
Let me ask one more question.
That's a great question.
Okay. You know, you talk about the state taking over the public schools. I don't understand this either. Will they take over the charter schools? It seems to me the parents that I talk to, they say that they were lucky or they knew somebody to get their child in charter schools, and they say they love it. They're not thinking about the public schools.
Okay, and we'll talk about that. The reality, Alfred, is your voice sounded really sad and really, really, really kind of defeated there, and I hope that's not the place where you are. The reality is that it's always going to be a fight. People always,
that's right.
I mean, you need to gear yourself up, buck yourself up, stand yourself up. It's always going to be a fight. When we get control of the district again, they're coming back again. So just buck up. It's going to be a fight. If they keep trying to get it, why wouldn't we continue to defend it?
There's no guarantee they won't attack again. They will.
They will. No, I'm not even saying there's no guarantee. They will. They absolutely will because they want the hundreds of millions of dollars unfettered in this district. And parents who love sending their kids to the charter school, what they need to do is look at how their kids fare compared to the test scores of the kids that go to public schools, because the test scores tell a completely different story, don't they, Peter?
Yes, they do. The charter schools are all at the bottom.
All at the bottom. Now, the parents may be happy about the clean facility. They may be happy about the pretty facility. They may be happy because their kids seem to like the district, but the bottom line is how the kids are tested and how the kids are actually doing in the district. And the fact of the matter is charter schools do not do worse than St. Louis public schools.
Charter schools do worse, yes.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be back. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Join the members of the 7th Police District Community Partnership for lunch as we honor the outstanding efforts of some of St. Louis' finest, the police officers of the 7th District. Police Board President Commissioner Chris Goodson will be the featured speaker with KECK's Ed Goodman as the MC.
This is Bob Ray of North Kings Highway Midas Service Center. Come out and show your support by having lunch with us at the pageant Thursday, February 22nd at noon.
A limited number of tickets are still available for this event. Don't miss out. For more information or to purchase tickets, call Officer Kim at 444-0047, 314-444-0047.
Just after the 11 o'clock news, Friday morning on WGNU's Animal Tales, Catherine McGowan and Ed Throop of the Animal House Fund update host Randy Grimm on their project. Then, just after the 12 o'clock news, Randy discusses the upcoming state legislative session with members of the Missouri Alliance for Animal Legislation. That's Animal Tales with Randy Grimm, Friday from 11 till 1 on AM 920 WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Lee. This is Taylor Mitchell calling you from a clean school, second grade room 209. Miss Lee, I'm having a great year. I love you. I love the beautiful message, African message that you gave me. Miss Liz, did you ever know that you're my hero? You are the best I ever know, just like my teacher. Because you are the star of my eyes, just like my teacher. I'm in room 209 where dignity reigns supreme. Have a happy summer. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. And, Peter, I want to get to one more caller here before we finish our conversation here. Chuck.
Good morning, Liz and Peter.
Good morning.
Did you happen to miss or did you notice the in Saturday's Post-Dispatch on page A23, hidden in one little couple of little columns hidden in among a bunch of commercials? Two city school board members dropped names from April ballot. Now, if you want some real certification that what you're speaking is true, here's Archibald's comments. It's just a couple of lines. I won't hold up much of your time. We did everything we could to make it happen, and now it's going to happen, said Archibald. It's not what we set out to do when we joined the board, but the task we set out to accomplish evolved.
What a liar. What a liar. Thank you, Chuck.
It's there.
Oh, you know what?
Yep, it's there. His object was to destroy the board.
And here's the thing, and I take that back. I take that back. He's not lying because I believe him. I believe that they didn't plan on having the state take over. They thought that they were going to be able to continue to stay in place,
yes,
and they were going to be able to, under the guise of elected offices, that they were going to continue to destroy the district. And when it turned out that they couldn't keep getting elected to this board, they had to go find another way to make certain that the money passed to people's hands.
Yeah.
So I think that was a true statement. It wasn't what they planned on doing because they thought that their majority would continue to stay, that people would continue to elect them, and it didn't happen. So they had to find another way to cheat.
Yep.
So let's talk about this insane. Let me give the address out of where people need to send their checks to this law firm. Save Our Children's Education, P.O. Box 21642. That's P.O. Box 21642, St. Louis, Missouri 63109. Save Our Children's Education, P.O. Box 21642, St. Louis, Missouri 63109. This is where we this is where the rubber meets the road. You need to put your money where your mouth is, where your heart is, where your intentions are, where your concerns are, whether it's a $5 check, a $15 check, a $5,000 check. This law firm needs the money to defend our schools against this assault. And it's a great case. It is an awesome case. The state has done so many things illegal. The state has done so many things wrong. The only way to battle them, right, or not the only way, the way that we have to battle them now is in the courthouse, because that's where the next progression of this thing is. They didn't listen to the people. The people told them what was lawful. They decided to act unlawfully. We got to take them to the courts. We got to take them to the courts. That's the next phase of this battle, and that costs money.
And it does cost money, and I think we're going to end up there. I think there is another phase. I think there is a slim hope,
okay,
that we can sway one or two more board members
to side with the two who voted against the transition panel to vote against removing the provisional accreditation of St. Louis Public Schools. And the reason I say that is because this whole bastardization, manipulation of the accreditation process is a threat to every school district in the state. You know, the small rural districts are under pressure to combine, and they're little communities. They don't want to give up the school districts, but this opens it up.
Mm-hmm.
Says that, you know, the Commissioner of Education could say, well, I'm tired of that little district. Let's just pull their accreditation, make them merge. You know, and it raising the question, those districts that are accredited, well, did they really deserve it, or is that just a political reward for something else?
Mm-hmm.
And if it discredits the whole process, what are colleges going to do about students who come from Missouri?
Exactly.
Should they even believe that any student from Missouri got a good education?
Exactly.
And so this is a very dangerous thing DESE is doing. And I think there is a chance, not a big one, but a chance that we could maybe convince one or two board members that for the good of the state, for the good of their own districts, none of them are from St. Louis.
Right.
They don't care about St. Louis. But for the good of their own districts, that they need to stop what DESE is doing.
And again, the how far DESE is going with this is, you know, again, a lawyer's dream. The thing that DESE is doing with we have one point. If we get one more point, then we will be in a place where DESE cannot implement this three-person board.
Right.
We're one point away from that. And what DESE is asking us to provide for this is like a caller called up last week and said, it's kind of like when people of African descent were trying to vote in the South, they'd have these so-called literacy tests, or they'd have tell me how many beans are in that jar. Excuse me. Tell me how many beans are in that jar, and then we'll let you vote. That's what's happening with the St. Louis Public Schools, because the whole program thing. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, it very much like that. You have to. What a lot of people don't know, and so you need to know first, is that with every other district, and every year before this year, when they want to know the number of graduates who go on to college, what they have the school district report is for a high school, say Roosevelt. Roosevelt would just report the number of graduates and the number who go to college, the number who go to technical school, the number who go to the military, the number who go to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the
it.
Number, the raw
just,
numbers.
Just the raw numbers. That's it. And
Clayton did this. Ladue did this. Hancock did this. Every other school district, that's the way they all report. It wasn't just the St. Louis Public Schools.
That's right.
That's what every school district in the state of Missouri was told, the data they were told to supply to answer that question.
That's right. And that's the data that was used for the real accreditation process 3 years ago.
Okay.
Right. But so that's the data. DESE had all the data in October and November. They became obvious. We met the standard. And so they said, oh, you're going to have to redo the data. District asked, well, how do we redo it? How do you want us to redo it? And DESE said, we'll send you a letter. That was November 17th. Six times between November 17th and the end of January, the superintendent or the head of accountability contacted DESE and says, where's this letter that's supposed to tell us how to redo the data?
Six times.
And the district didn't get the letter until February 1st. And February 1st, they said, we want you to go for 5 years, name each individual student, birth date, race, gender, name the college they went to or the technical school they went to or the job or the military, or whatever, but name the particular school they went to and include the paper program from their commencement exercises.
With their
name. That has their name on it for the past 5 years.
For the past 5 years. And they said, we want this data by.
Oh, and by the way, you have 27 days to gather all this data and give it to
us. 5 years.
Yes.
5 years. Data that has never been collected like that for any district in the entire state of Missouri.
Right.
Never, ever. Nobody's ever compiled this data. Let alone go back 5 years. And also, during the five-year period where Roberti was in, where we had fewer people even over the data and taking care of the data. We've lost data since Roberti and Slay took over the district.
Well, and I was thinking, you know, Roberti, with all the people he laid off and moved, and then Craig Williams, firing 1,000 teachers and moving them around different places. I mean, if you had a counselor who was in place for the last 5 years, it's possible that counselor would have that, would be able to pull that information together.
Possible.
But we've had people coming in and shifting, firing people and shifting them around and moving around. And of course, when they move, they take their records or they're left and somebody throws them out. So that's just not there.
So this is the thing that they are, it's like tell me how many beans are in the jar.
Yes, exactly.
It's an impossible task. It's tell me I'm eating beans. It's an impossible task. And so they want programs. And if you don't have, so if you don't have the programs from Roosevelt's graduation from 2003, then you don't get credit for all the kids that went to college from Roosevelt in 2003. If you don't have the programs from every student, so maybe you got three programs. So you only get counted for three kids that went on to college after Roosevelt? That is count. Tell me how many beans are in that jar. Right. They don't want it because they've, like you said, they already had the data. They already had the data, and when they looked at it, they realized we're not going to be able to remove them from the accreditation part. So send it back, make them do something impossible, and when they can't do the impossible, then say, that's the reason why we're not going to give you this point.
That's right. You know, and this is data, they already had it, but they've already accepted it before, right?
Mm.
Data from 4 or 5 years ago, they've accepted that data 3 or 4 times before. They used that data in the actual accreditation process
Jesus.
3 years ago.
Jesus. Peter, the address that people can send to the money to Save Our Children's Education, make your checks out to Save Our Children's Education, P.O. Box 21642, St. Louis, Missouri, 63109. Call your legislators. Call them about this voucher bill that they're supposed to vote on. They're supposed to vote on. How are they supposed to vote on it today? On the floor of the House?
Yes.
On the floor of the House. Y'all need to call. Peter, we'll be back same time, same place on Wednesday.
See you next week.
All right, folks, I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. By the end of the year, about half of the British troops now in Iraq could be home. Here's ABC's Linda Alvin.
132 British troops have died in Iraq since the invasion. This war has never been popular here in Britain. Tony Blair has taken a lot of heat for the way things have gone. He was returned to Parliament for an unprecedented third term, but with a significantly reduced majority. And it is believed that he wanted to be able to make this announcement before his own departure from Downing Street in spring or early summer.
The White House says Britain's decision shows progress in Iraq, but does it also mean the U.S. will be going it alone soon?
Vice President Cheney is off to Australia tomorrow to show support for Prime Minister John Howard, who is under pressure to withdraw Australian troops from Iraq. With the British starting to leave, the United States does not want to be left alone in Iraq.
ABC's Jonathan Carl with the vice president in Tokyo. At least 11 people are dead after the latest violence in Iraq, a suicide car bombing in Najaf. So sorry, that's what JetBlue is saying in a huge ad that takes up a whole newspaper page. The airline says it was embarrassed by the way it treated passengers in last week's winter storm and asks you not to give up on the airline just yet. The battle over Anna Nicole Smith's baby and her body drags on in court, but one person is asking everyone to figure it out soon. Broward County Florida's chief medical examiner, Dr. Joshua Pepper.
The two embalmer, which performed the embalming on Saturday, has returned today to check the condition of the body, and they observed unfortunate deterioration much faster than they expected.
Smith's boyfriend, Howard K. Stern, who also claims he is the father of Smith's baby, wants to bury her in the Bahamas. Her mother wants to take the body back to Texas. Mardi Gras 2007 is history. The city made more money off it this year than it did last year, but no one is forgetting Katrina. A man was dressed in red tape to protest a slow government response to the recovery effort. This is ABC News.
I've been waiting for lunch all day.
Me too. Natalie, I'll trade my apple for your potato chips.
I don't know, Matthew, my potato chips for your cookie.
Let's see. Billy, what's that?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Rich chocolate Ovaltine? An apple and my gummy bears for the Ovaltine?
No way.
Potato chips and grape juice for the rich chocolate Ovaltine?
No way.
2 cookies, bubblegum, and my Hershey's chocolate milk?
Double no way.
Aww. More Ovaltine, please.
top three reasons I'm going to the Home Depot's clearance event. Number three, saving money on a fan is cool. Number two, saving money on lighting is hot. And number one, saving money on a new floor is, well, just right.
At the Home Depot, save up to 40% off select Yellow Tag clearance items like hardwood flooring, ceiling fans, and lighting. Come early for best selection. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through April 21st in U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
He or she may have a little PC instead of a clipboard. ABC's Chuck Sievertson explains.
The first shift starts now and lasts 48 hours.
Nurses and docs on TV's Grey's Anatomy need all the help they can get.
You run labs, write orders, work every second night until you drop, and don't complain.
In real-world hospitals, a new small tablet-style computer is being introduced by Intel and Motion Computing Companies. It has a digital camera, several forms of wireless communications, and an optional barcode scanner. It's sealed so it can be easily disinfected to prevent spreading disease. Nurses can remotely call up medical records and doctor's orders, chart patients' vital signs, and exchange information with other medical professionals. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
A German study is bound to get a lot of attention. It says natural family planning can work as well as other contraceptive methods. Researchers say when women in the test group did all the tracking and the temperature taking they were supposed to, there was a 1% failure rate, which is about the same as the pill. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
And with an update of WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston. In the news this morning, charges have been filed in Monday's fatal beating of a motel clerk in Bridgeton. 35-year-old Henry Carmichael, formerly of Bridgeton, is charged with second-degree murder in the beating of Martin Tavega. Tavega was an employee and resident of the Economy Inn and Suites on St. Charles Rock Road in Bridgeton. He was found beaten Monday evening. It's Bridgeton's first murder this year. Carmichael's being held in lieu of $250,000 bond. In other news, a possible walkout by 230 food service workers at St. Louis Public Schools has been averted. The employees' union, Service Employees International, voted last Friday to return to contract negotiations with the workers' employer, international food service giant Aramark, February 27th. The workers' current contract expires February 28th. They're asking for a 3-year deal with a 3% yearly raise and 100% health coverage. Finally, out of Jefferson City, Governor Blunt and Secretary of State Robin Carnahan have launched a new website to make it easier for Missourians to start their own small businesses. Blunt and Carnahan have created Missouri Business Portal, a one-stop access point for business owners. The Missouri Business Portal connects small business owners with state government resources. The website provides tools to help Missourians start small businesses and maintain reporting requirements. Carnahan says, quote, the Missouri Small Business Portal is a terrific resource for businesses large and small. The Missouri Business Portal is a multi-agency collaboration between the Secretary of State, Department of Economic Development, Department of Labor and Industrial Relations, Department of Revenue, the Office of Administration, and the Small Business Development Centers. I'm Peyton Colston, and that's this hour's update of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 8 o'clock hour. Eastbound 44 from Antire through Bowles. Look for an accident. Left lane's blocked us west of Bowles. Westbound 270 from Illinois 111 to the Chain of Rocks Bridge. Look for an accident that's on the Chain of Rocks Bridge. Look for stop traffic in both those instances, as well as westbound 70 from St. Charles Rock Road through Earth City. You've got an accident. Three lanes are blocked, and now the three center lanes are now open, but that's east of the Earth City Expressway. Look for some delays. Eastbound 70 from Bryan through 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Ballast through McKnight and Chesterfield Parkway through Mason, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 at 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge, look for some slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 55 and Doherty Ferry, look for some delays. That accident's been cleared both north of 55 and Doherty Ferry, but there's still some slowdowns as a result. Westbound 40 between 270 and Mason, there's a stalled vehicle partially blocking the right lane. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44, look for some delays. Eastbound 70 from the Blanchett Bridge through 270, look for slow traffic. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is looking good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from mid-span into the Laclede's Landing area. Northbound 270 at Dorset and 70, look for some delays. And westbound 40 between McCausland and Brentwood, look for some delays as well. That is a look at your traffic for this hour. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly sunny skies, high around 60. For this evening, mostly clear, low in the mid-30s. For Thursday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-50s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy, low around 30. And Friday, partly sunny skies with a high in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 36 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 36 degrees as well, and sunshine. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your new or your traffic and your weather. I'm sorry, in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are...
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I had a quick question for you. If the state proceeded to take over the school district, what would happen to the desegregation money?
I believe that Jay Nixon, who is running for the governorship of this state, would hand the deseg money over to Francis Slay in a separate sub-district and allow them to use that money for whatever they want to use the money for.
Okay. Now, this group of attorneys in Jefferson City that have been selected to represent the lawsuit, are they also looking at racial disparities or racial discrimination?
Absolutely.
Well, when the guy was interviewed on Channel 5, I watched the entire telecast on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
They asked him, you know, is this about race as well? Will you also be submitting a lawsuit involving a race issue? And he said, absolutely not. And I'm just wondering, you know, is that a separate lawsuit?
I don't know. I don't know if that is one of the things that they are going to be submitting. It was my understanding that was racial disparities, as you described them, will be looked at in terms of the some of the decisions that have been made by this district.
When I watched the news in this full broadcast, it looks to me, it reminded me of an excerpt from something from like the 50s, you know, down Alabama or something, the way that elderly white man was talking to the people. Like, you know, he was telling them, sit down, there won't be any disruptions. And, you know, they had a strong police presence there. I think that, you know, we marched on Alabama. We marched on Mississippi. I don't think we've ever marched on Missouri.
And I think that we should. And you're talking about what you saw in the Desi meeting.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That was not the attorney that would be representing the lawsuit.
He looked like his mouth was quivering.
No. You're talking about, that's the guy that is with Silver Dollar City.
Oh, okay.
That's the guy that owns Silver Dollar City. He's the one that was telling people to shut up and to sit down.
Yeah, he's the guy that had the gavel, and he was just upset.
That's exactly right. That's the guy. No. That's not the law firm at all.
No, I saw the young guy, the interview, standing next to Bill Berberti.
Okay.
I mean, not Bill Berberti, but
Bill Purdy. Mm-hmm. So, no, the guy that you're talking about is Silver Dollar City, and I don't understand why any citizen in the city of St. Louis would ever have anything to do with the Silver Dollar City after how you see how he treats black folks.
Yeah, but, you know, just based on how they're looking, and I saw the look on their face that they hate us.
Yeah. Yep. And have you called, have you called your legislator yet?
Oh, I called Congressman Clay.
No. Congressman Clay went up there advocating for the Catholic schools. Have you called your state legislator?
No, I need to.
Okay, no, you definitely need to, because there's a vote on the floor of the House right now for vouchers today. You need to call Rita Days, and that's your senator. I'm talking about the House. Who's your House representative?
Okay,
that's the person you need to call.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
I have their number. You just tell me their name, and I'll give you their number.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks
for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Father, stop criticizing your son. Mother, please leave your daughters alone. Be their own piece of play.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You know, this same thing happened in East St. Louis. Where the state wanted to take over, they brought these three board member panels in. I go back to the money, how the salaries are paid. There's a discrepancy between the county and the city.
of St. Louis on how much money is made. That's what that Bush plan was all about when he did this No Child Left Behind. The funding of schools is a very critical thing. Nobody wants to pay for them, but everybody wants the education. And it's really sad that that the state wants to come in, because it's taught in one-on-one history. The local government controls the schools. That's 101. I mean, anytime you study government, that's how it goes. And what the state is doing is they're trying to get their hands on this $500 million, a group of men. And I think that you're right. They're trying to deal with this voucher thing and turn St. Louis over to a voucher system, with St. Louis is heavy Catholic, meaning that there are going to be people going to Catholic schools and don't have to pay. And
that's exactly right. And that way Catholic schools don't have to close any schools.
Right.
The public schools.
Is that this private concern business is all about rich people wanting to get a few more dollars for, because $2,500 is not going to help a poor person when John Burroughs costs $12,000 per year on to go to school. That's not including books and other stuff. So if these people won't get out of their mind that they're going to get this education CBC and that, because they're not going to be able to get into school. They're already crowded now.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
1-877-920-WGNU. Barbara.
Yes, hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Just a comment. Let me roll up this window about the state takeover. For those few misguided souls that, champion this, they need to remember history and remember when there was a law in Missouri that even prohibited African Americans from being educated. And there was a gentleman named Harry Meacham. Meacham Park is named after him. He would roll African American children out in the Mississippi River, educate them, and then roll them back in the evening to get around the law. So I don't know how anyone thinks that they could put their trust in the state.
Honest to God. Thank you, Barbara. 1-877-920-WGNU. Shirley.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I think we do forget a little bit of our history. I'm 70 years old.
Yes, ma'am.
Praise God. I remember the state having the schools when I was in the schools. We got old books. Some of the pages were missing. That's why we were never caught up with the white kids, as they called them then, the Caucasians, because we got everything that was 3 or 4 years old.
And Shirley, if I can interrupt just for a second, please, because I want to underscore what you're saying. Here's the plan of 2007, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The plan of 2007 is if the state is taken over and three white men decide the fate of how our money is going to be spent for our school, that means that Francis Slay, Matt Blunt, and Jim Shrewsbury decide this. What's going to happen is that we have one school district right now for the city of St. Louis. They're going to break the district down into sub-districts. And within those sub-districts, they're going to be able to do exactly what they did when you were growing up.
Right.
Because Francis Slay will carve out a sub-district for downtown St. Louis. St. Louis Public Schools for downtown St. Louis. They will build new schools in downtown St. Louis. They've already picked the land out. They will build new schools. And they will allow white people who come into St. Louis and work to bring their children with them, even though they don't live here.
That's
in the city, they're going to bring their children into the city of St. Louis, into this brand new sub-district of the St. Louis Public Schools, where all of the money will be poured, and every other black child, not every other, because there will be a handful of black kids that go to those schools, and they will be brought out just like show puppies to show that we got black kids in this school. But the reality is that the majority of the black kids will be put in these poor sub-districts. They will have books with no pages in them. They will have teachers that don't want to be there, and they will not get an education, paving the way for them to enter into a class of people that are stuck with minimum wage jobs, stuck with minimum wage attitudes, and stuck with minimum wage choices.
That's right. See, I remember that. And we always would wonder, where was the pages? And the teachers was wise enough to let us know that these are used books. And we get them after the other students were finished with them.
Shirley, would you?
And I also have my book out to call Jeanette Malt Oxford. That's who is my statement.
All right, you want the phone number?
I have it.
Okay.
They send me a, I live in the senior citizen area, but they send me a book out every year with all the phone numbers.
You call her today and say I
took it out when I heard that.
All right.
I will call them because I remember that.
All right now.
Okay, thank you, Liz.
Thank you, and tell me what she says, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-877-920-WGNU. Jay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a professional musician. I just moved back into St. Louis. I was living in Chicago, but I'm originally from St. Louis. And I remember when the desegregation program had started, and when I was a part of that back in the late 60s and early 70s. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I am really still surprised and outrageously shocked that we still got a deseg program going on. And we live it in 2007. And I'm going to tell you something. I am so... The only reason why I came back here because my mama passed away.
So you sure wouldn't be staying here.
I'm getting ready to move back. I'm getting ready to move to Seattle. And my band, we're going to be playing for Norwegian Cruise Lines. I want to say something about this town here. I hate this hillbilly town so bad. I'm telling you, I never seen so much racist stuff go on. And I'm telling you, these public schools, when I was in that DSEC program, when we started, they started the DSEC program, and they had us on the south side. Those white folks, I mean, they protested so bad. They did not want black people. Kids, they didn't want us in them schools on the south side. I remember them schools. I remember Madison. I remember a lot of those schools we went to over there. That one school, Madison, we went to, those white folks were so mad that we went to that school. They was out there protesting. And then we were sitting in the classrooms, and then we went to recess. We went out to recess. You know that, what you call that, tetherball? You hit the ball to go to the room and go around.
I was a queen of tetherball.
You know the white kids, they told us not to mess with the ball. They didn't want us playing kickball. They didn't want us playing softball. We just sat there on the benches and looked at the white kids play at recess. Then we went back up in there. I'm going to tell you something. I am sick of this mess here, and I don't know what to say about this town here. And, you know, I done traveled all over the world. I've been to 29 countries, and I done seen a lot of stuff in my life. But this town here, I'm telling you,
that's why,
if
we
don't get this together here,
right. Uh-huh.
This is really how I feel, because I'm sick of it.
All right.
If we don't get it together here, we're going to go all the way back to the 1930s.
Thanks for your call.
You got to fight.
Absolutely. Thank absolutely. You. Absolutely. 1-877-920-WGNU. James.
I'm going to say this very facetiously. Seems like some people are hung up on color. And what I mean by this, what is color is Roger Herbert Hubbard?
Say that again?
What color is Robert? What is Hubbard?
Rodney Hubbard.
Rodney, what color is he?
He is of African descent.
What color is it Frankie Freeman?
She's of African descent.
What is O'Brien?
She's of African descent.
Jackson?
Of African descent.
They have done more harm to this school board than any, even...
Well, I would say, James, that before you give them their props on doing more harm, there are puppets and there are puppet masters. And the puppet masters are the people that pull the strings. They're the ones that are responsible for this. You can always go find a flunky.
Yes.
You can always go find a flunky to stick the knife in, but you handed him the knife, gave him the paid and the money, and sent him over there to do it. So yes, they are responsible, but let us not let off the real real people out here, and that is Francis Slay, Matt Blunt, and everybody else who covets the money in this district.
Well yeah, and am I wrong that DSEG money was supposed to go to the black children? Were any white children bused to the suburbs?
The money was supposed to go to children of African descent. Although, here's the interesting piece. In the DSEG program, which was such a foul thing to begin with, it says that they can only spend the money that's left over if there are white kids that come in from the county and our school, we need to build more white schools or more schools to accommodate the white kids that come in from the county.
And that's what Francis Slay is after.
Well, that's what Jay Nixon has already given up. Jay Nixon gave Bill Roberti $40 million of that DSEG money.
And you can't find it.
And you can't find it, and the district is obligated. One of the reasons why the district is in debt is because Jay Nixon gave Bill Roberti $40 million of that DSEG money, and Jay Nixon couldn't tell you today where that money is. And now he wants a job promotion to be the governor of this state. The answer is no.
You got that right.
The
Thank
answer
so
is
much.
No. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We're going to take a break here. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to here. And don't forget, the address that you can mail your check to is to Save Our Children's Education, P.O. Box 21642. That's P.O. Box 21642, St. Louis, Missouri, 63109. That's P.O. Box 21642. St. Louis, Missouri, 63109. Make the checks out to Save Our Children's Education. Call your legislators today. Tell them that they better not be supporting that voucher bill that comes out today on the floor of the House. And also go to the website of the House. Listen to the debate. You can hear it live on the floor of the House. Listen to what they're saying on the floor. That way you know whether your legislator got up on the floor and said anything or sat in silence and took it. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 70 approaching Highway 94 through the Blanchette Bridge. Look for an accident. Two lanes are blocked just east of the bridge. It's two right lanes. Eastbound 44 from Antire through Bowles. Look for an accident. Left lane's blocked west of Bowles. Westbound 270 from Illinois 111 through Chain of Rocks Bridge. Look for stop-go traffic due to an accident that's been cleared. That's on a Chain of Rocks Bridge, but it's still going to create slowdowns. Eastbound 40 from 270 through McKnight, and then again from Chesterfield Parkway through Mason. Look for heavy slowdowns there. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some delays. Northbound 270 at 55 and Doherty Ferry. Look for an accident that's been cleared just north of Doherty Ferry, and 55 is making stop-and-go traffic a hazard this morning on northbound 270. Westbound 70 from St. Charles Rock Road through Earth City Expressway. Look for some delays due to an accident cleared that was east of Earth City Expressway. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some slowdowns onto that ramp. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway through 44. Expect some delays this hour. And eastbound 70 from K through 79. That traffic's easing now. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 60. This evening, mostly clear, low in the mid-30s. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-50s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy, low around 30. And then on Friday, partly sunny, high in the mid-50s. Currently, the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 34 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 36. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is your Congressman, Lacey Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Para dónde vas,
muchacha?
Para dónde vas,
oye mujer?
Para dónde vas,
dime.
Para dónde vas, dónde vas?
Si vas al baile, baila conmigo. Si vas al carnaval, quiero ir contigo. Si vas a donde quiera, no me quedo atrás, porque quiero amarte más y más.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get to me. We have much business to tend to, much business to tend to. Do you know that Iran made an offer to the United States, peace offer to the United States? Also, we'll stop doing our nuclear stuff if you do this. Did you know that? Well, you probably didn't. Because this administration never told you. This administration never told you. That's going to be our conversation in the 9 o'clock hour. You don't want to miss it. 1-877-920-W. And how does our guest know that? Because he read the peace plan in 2003. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. Bob.
Good morning, Liz. How are you this morning?
I am outstanding.
That's good, Liz. Liz, the guy that you had on, the gentleman, and he's talking about his mother's death, and he's talking about how racist it is, St. Louis is. I just wanted to tell some of the younger callers that probably was about 9 or 10 when this happened. Here in St. Louis in 93, we had a flood, and the flood was so bad down the riverfront, they needed more sandbagging and more help. So what they did was, Liz, you may remember this, they got a truckload of African-American guys, big, strong guys. When they got down there, they got out the trucks, and they were getting ready to start helping the guys load. One of the white supervisors walked over and said, well, what are you doing? He said, well, you guys asked for help. We're ready to get started. He said, no, we don't need your help. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, no, we don't need you. He said, look, I insist. He said, if they work, we leave. So just to show you, Liz, they were ready to just sacrifice and not work if blacks would help.
No, sacrifice
that's
their
lives.
Sacrifice their lives and their property.
And their property.
And this is in the city of St. Louis.
In the city of St. Louis, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys were ready to go. They said, no, we're not working with them.
Okay.
And they were ready to stop. So thank you, Liz.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. We have much business to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz. This is Jesse Todd. How you doing?
Jesse Todd, good morning.
I just want to make a statement. We want home rule and no taxation or education without voter and taxpayer participation. My question is, where are the people who supported home rule A, B, C, and D? Where are they now? I haven't heard one of them say they support home rule now for this for the school board, which the state panel is getting ready to attempt to take over. So my question is, where are they now?
Mm. And, Jesse, have you called your state rep on this voucher piece?
I'm getting ready. I'm going to call him in a few minutes.
Okay, because this is critical. Our state reps need to have a position on this, and they need to be on the floor right now in anticipation of blocking this.
That's for sure, because we need. That's what they're up there for. If we can't depend on us elected officials when you need us, then what do you really need with us? We are useless.
There you go.
Okay, so I'm going to give him a call as soon as I get off the phone. Thank you for
Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes. Hi, Ms. Brown. Anyway, someone called me from, they work down in the city in the Parks Department, and you know what they got them doing? They got them cleaning up boo-boo around there on Locust and 14th Street.
Wait a minute, they have them cleaning up what?
They have them cleaning up dog maneuver, and that's supposed to be part of their job in the Parks Department. Instead of cleaning, you know, cutting the grass or whatever they do, they over there on 14 and Locust, right there where the law's at, where they're supposed to have an ordinance where they're supposed to clean up their own stuff when they dog go.
That's what the people in the parks are doing is cleaning up.
No, the Parks Department.
The Parks Department, that's what I'm saying.
They have them doing it, the employees doing it.
So the employees are going out to downtown St. Louis and cleaning up dog doo.
Yes.
But not... Oh, I don't know, cutting the grass in vacant lots.
Or circle or whatever.
Or doing anything like that's what they're doing.
Right. And then in December, they had them doing moving some furniture for a private entity.
Who was the private entity?
I'm not sure who the private entity was, but someone called me and told me, guess what we're doing today? We got to go into, it was in a warehouse somewhere, and move some furniture into another building. It wasn't for the city. It was for a private person. Doing a favor for somebody that worked for the CDA,
well,
I guess.
I sure would like to know who the private person was.
That's what we were trying to find out.
All right. Well, let me know if you find out.
Okay.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. Sam.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I've noticed a strange pattern that a lot of organizations that have black faces connected to them, like, you know, the Black Leadership Roundtable, the Urban League, the NAACP, our former mayor. I've noticed a lot of them have had a hand in the destruction of what's going on in the city of St. Louis towards our kids being educated. If you think about it, you had the mayor once upon a time saying we needed to end the DSEG program and bring that money back to the city. Then you put people like Buford on the board, and his organization is the Urban League, and the NAACP people never really stood behind that lady when they went up there to try to bring the DSEG to a conclusion. And you've had the Black Leadership Roundtable, who are also members were on the school board up there with their hand in Slade's pocket, along with other folks who have, in that circle, who have been totally against black people, education, and just moving forward, period, for the people in our race. Have you noticed any such a climate of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talked about it.
Yeah. And I just think it's strange. I mean, people were setting us up to get to this here point. And then, you know, I had spoke to you a while back about, you know, the things that were happening over in Illinois when I was telling you the state needs to take it over. And then you said, well, no, that would never happen. And then the very things that were said couldn't happen are now they're trying to put in process. And why do we nullify the people's vote? Voting for the mayor and legislators, well, we might as well say, well, you know what? Let's turn around and take our vote back, because it doesn't do any good to vote for something when they can just take it away from you anyway.
Well, what does that mean? Will it take our vote back? What does that mean?
Well, in other words, I mean, if they can just, like you said, go do an end round on us, when you vote for something,
mm-hmm.
and you say, well, no, we don't want gambling. No, we don't want concealed carry. No, we don't want the lottery. And somebody in legislation can just say, well, you know what? We don't care what
they don't want, this is what we're going to give them.
So what do we do? Then we what? Stop voting?
Never stop voting.
Okay, so then what do we do? So what are you saying?
And, I mean, well, like you were saying, going through the courts, that seems to be the last, destination that we can take. But
they're all
against us from time to time.
Well, what we have to absorb, Sam, is the fact that it's always a battle.
Yeah.
And we got to take that on, that people will always try to take stuff from you. How do you protect yourself from it? Sometimes it is simply locking your door. Sometimes it's putting in an alarm system. Sometimes it's putting a dog in your yard. Sometimes it is having a gun in your house. Sometimes, so there are numbers. You always have
things to do.
And you never leave your door open. So you're always protecting yourself in that way. You just got to look at this in the same way. We always got to be about protecting our stuff. And for us to, what I think has happened in some people's ways of dealing with this is that they've left the front door open. They didn't try to protect the school district. They left the front door open, and now they're surprised that people are in their house taking their stuff. You cannot leave. You always got to protect what is valuable, whether it's your child, whether it's your car, whether it's your home, whether it's your life, whether it's your school district. You always have to protect it. And protect it doesn't mean sitting back and expecting other people to protect it, or sitting back and expecting it to protect itself.
Oh.
That's not what protection is.
Oh. Thank you, Liz.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top 6 appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
In 1990, Tim Burton created a character that touched the hearts of millions. Today, through the magic of Matthew Bourne, this character is back to make your heart soar. Edward Scissorhands, the classic film about the ultimate outsider, is now the world's most talked about theatrical dance sensation. The London Times gives it 4 stars, its highest honor. The Los Angeles Times calls it charming, inventive, and endearing. And the New York Times raves, just bring your eyes and ears and marvel at the inventions of Mr. Bourne's theatrical imagination. Edward Scissorhands, a gothic fairy tale, a moving love story, a dance spectacular for the entire family.
At the Fox, February 27th through March 11th in the U.S. Bank Broadway Series, presented by Dan St. Louis and sponsored by American Airlines. For tickets, call 314-534-1111.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy. Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
don't know how you met me. You don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me. I'm not worried about...
Welcome back, welcome back. You won't find nobody else like me. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Dee!
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
How are you?
I'm excellent, as are you? Listen, a young man was saying, you were saying what to do. If we get comfortable, don't stay comfortable long.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to get something clean is to agitate.
There you go.
Go against wrong.
That's right.
You know, birds of a feather flock together. And we've all been watching this. Bush, Mayor Daley in Chicago, Francis Slay, Boy Blunt, birds of a feather. They're trying to...
And don't forget the race that we have coming up in March on March 6th, the race of Lewis Reed and Shrewsbury. Shrewsbury is flocking with Slay and them, too.
And what did he say? What did he tell Jennifer? He told her, I have all the power.
That's right. And none of the responsibility. That's right.
That think they be.
That's right.
The DSEG money is as elusive. They're trying to make the DSEG money as elusive as 40 acres and a mule.
Mm.
Remember sharecropping?
Okay.
We better start thinking about this because these people want to put us to a place we ain't never been.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Doctor.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing, Ms. Brown?
I am outstanding.
Wonderful. Yeah, I wanted to talk about Senator Obama a second. Do you remember the statement that he made when he went to Kenya?
Okay, which statement was that, Safari?
When he was in Kenya, he was addressing the crowd. But his statement was very outdated and was very insulting to the new government of Kenya.
Okay, what did Barack Obama say to the Kenyans when he went there? Because his father was Kenyan.
What did he say? His statement is he was talking about corruption. But his statement was outdated because the statement was supposed to be addressed to the previous government of Arab Moi. But when he talked, he was insulting the new government that had just won elections and is an anti-corruption government. You know, you see what I mean?
I have to see exactly what he said, Safari. I mean, I feel what you're saying. I just would have to see what he said. So he insulted the current government by associating them with the other government.
Yeah, it's like he went there, talked without even
knowing.
Having the situation in Kenya, what was going on.
Mm.
And it was very insulting for it, but even the Kenyan government, you know, they were just being nice to him, but I was angry then because I couldn't even read to finish the statement, but I read what the Kenyan response government was, but it was very mild, but they were angry, though.
And I guess to me that just says that you know, I would think that somebody who's going there under with all of the newspaper cameras that he went with, that he would have taken time to understand the country that he was visiting, particularly since this is where his father's from.
He was supposed to, at least, because the government that is ruling now is an anti-corruption government, and it's very progressive as far as everybody in Africa can tell. So when he went there, he started telling them, stop being corrupt, you know.
He got to Kenya and he told the government to stop being corrupt?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
I tell you that.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he didn't.
That's what he said. That's why I was with
him. I got to go read that speech. I will go and read that speech because If he said that, that is heartbreaking. That is heartbreaking. Because that's the same tone and tenure that that other people that lecture people in Africa bring as well. I got to go read that because I have not read that. I will definitely go and read that speech.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for bringing that to my attention.
All right. Sure, Ms. Brent.
Take care. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My guest in the next hour is going to be the head of the National Iranian American Council. He's also an adjunct professor at Johns Hopkins University. And he's going to talk to us about the peace offer that was made by Iran in 2003. And also the fact that he saw the peace offer in 2003. He interviewed Iranian officials about it in 2004. And yet and still this administration missed an opportunity to take advantage of that peace offer from Iran. So we got to ask the question of, so if they missed an opportunity, in fact, Condoleezza Rice misled us about it. You know, go figure. So we're going to be talking about that in the next hour. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Don't forget you can check me out at lizbrown.com. That's lizbrown.com. Get up. Get up. Get to us. It's supposed to get up to, what, 50 degrees today? 50, 60 degrees today? Something insane. Gas prices went up, what, 20 cents over the last day or so? About 20 cents over the last day or so. And for those of you that believe or don't believe in global warming, just put this fact in your mental Rolodex. The world temperatures in January were the highest ever recorded for that month of the year. The combined global land and ocean surface temperature was the highest for any January on record. And that surpassed the record that was made in 2002. The global ocean surface was the fourth warmest in 128 years. But there's no global warming. There's no global warming. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. There's a fascinating story, and I'm not necessarily a person that is always connecting everything that goes on in Great Britain with what's going on in the world, but I will in this case. Let me just answer a question that has been asked hypothetically. Many people say, well, if George Bush likes this war so much, why doesn't he send his twin daughters? Because he's not going to. Great Britain is also in Iraq with us, right? Not with as many troops, but they're there, right? Tony Blair has just announced that there is a timetable for pulling the troops out of Iraq. Do you think it could have anything to do with the fact that Prince Harry, who is part of the Great Britain's military, is supposed to be deployed to Iraq? Do you think there's any coinkydink in the fact that they're talking about Prince Harry, fourth in line to the throne, because he joined the military, that he would have to be deployed to Iraq? I bet you are pulling out in Iraq. I bet you are. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. I want to share something with you. Do we have time to share that Minister Farrakhan piece, Howard? Can we share a little bit of it on the way out? Because I want to, because there's a bus leaving the Roberts Building to go up to the Savior's Day event where Minister Farrakhan is going to be speaking on Saturday. So you need to this is a really, really wonderful, wonderful statement from Minister Farrakhan, and a reason why you need to be on that bus leaving the Roberts Building, going up there to Detroit. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to stay with me.
Greetings to you. I am Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to take this opportunity to thank all of you who sent me flowers, cards, and well wishes for my speedy recovery from my horrific operation. And to those of you who prayed for my recovery, words are not adequate to express my deep, deep sense of personal gratitude. Each of you can go back to your mosques, your churches, your cathedrals, your synagogues, your temples, your cloisters, wherever it is that you worship God, and say to your congregation that our God, by whatever name you call him, answers prayer. Many, many Christians of many different denominations prayed for me. Many pastors put their churches on fasts and prayers for my recovery. There were Hebrew Israelites all over America, Africa, and in Israel that prayed for me. There were rabbis and Jewish people who prayed for me to recover. There were Muslims all over the world who prayed for me. There were Buddhists who chanted, and there were those who would do yoga in their chants and in their meditations that prayed for me. There were Hindus who prayed for me. There were blacks, whites, Asians, Hispanics, and Native Americans who prayed for me. How then could I come through this illness and this horrific operation and not thank God for a message that would be universal in its scope and universal?
You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alvinger. It's been talked about for a while, but today Prime Minister Tony Blair made it official. He's setting a timetable for British troops in southern Iraq. He's calling HAP home by the end of the year.
It does mean that the next chapter in Basra's history can be written by the Iraqis.
Washington's take on it.
This is Ann Compton at the White House. President Bush is thanking Britain for what has been a robust force in Iraq. But his statement points out more than half the British troops will remain in Iraq, along with U.S. forces, which are increasing in number. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
You may have seen it in your local newspaper this morning, a full-page ad from JetBlue with a pretty clear message. Don't give up on the airline. The discount carrier apologized for mistreating passengers in last week's ice storm. The ad wasn't in your paper today. It could be in it tomorrow. Mardi Gras 2007 is a wrap, and now it's back to reality and the post-Katrina recovery.
There's still really no good plan for the Lower Ninth Ward and what's going to happen to that area. There had been discussions about just raising everything and starting over or not starting over at all, but getting rid of that area in case it flooded again. The homeowners have come out and said that's not allowed. So they're in kind of this stalemate right now of what's going to happen to the Lower Ninth Ward. Well, some folks have come in and rebuilt. Others are still waiting.
ABC's Alex Stone in New Orleans. Matty Bryant may not go mountain climbing for a while. He was one of the three people rescued from Oregon's Mount Hood earlier this week. And he says the experts are right. The dog that was with him probably kept them alive.
COVID, throughout the night went between all three of us. She was laying, I believe, first on Kate. And then I remember her moving over to Christina and Kate kind of saying like, oh, I guess she's not going to lay on me anymore.
Oregon lawmakers, meanwhile, are now debating a bill that would require some climbers, most climbers for that matter, to have electronic monitoring devices like Bryant and his group had. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is down 58 points in early going, and the NASDAQ is off 7 points. This is ABC News.
Ready, everybody? Sammy, put down the rich chocolate Ovaltine hot. Okay, here comes the beep. Hi, you've reached the Connors. Beth?
Jerry?
And Samantha?
We can't get to the phone right now because...
Because I want to finish my Ovaltine hot. It's the best hot chocolate in the whole wide world.
Sammy?
It has vitamins and stuff, but I just like the taste. Yummy, creamy, chocolatey, and...
Sammy?
Ovaltine hot makes my belly feel all warm inside, and...
Sammy?
Oh, leave a message.
That went well.
More Ovaltine, please!
Top three reasons I'm going to the Home Depot's clearance event. Number three... Saving money on a fan is cool. Number two, saving money on lighting is hot. And number one, saving money on a new floor is, well, just right.
At the Home Depot, save up to 40% off select Yellow Tag clearance items like hardwood flooring, ceiling fans, and lighting. Come early for best selection. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through April 21st in U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
California needs to figure out what to do with all of its prisoners.
The state's prisons were built to hold 100,000 people. They're at 172,000 and growing. One judge ruled that has to be fixed by June, but another judge has killed the idea of sending inmates out of state. And Corrections Chief James Tilton doesn't know what he'll do.
I've really got to struggle here to find beds. The bottom line is we don't want violent criminals to be released to the state of California.
Chuck Alexander, the Prison Guards Union, says they'd have to do that anyway because the state hasn't built the prisons it needs.
Every inmate that was shipped out of state had their bed backfilled behind with yet another inmate. So the overcrowding didn't get relieved whatsoever.
Gil Gross, ABC News, Los Angeles.
An Argentine couple has placed an ad in the social pages of a major newspaper asking people not to invite them to their weddings. He is a busy attorney with a large extended family. His wife does a lot of volunteer work, and he says they could go to a wedding every weekend if they said yes to every invitation, and that's just too much. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's an update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston. In Berkeley, an ordinance expected to pass at next month's city council meeting would penalize both landlords and tenants for not obtaining an occupancy permit. The bill would place a possible fine of $1,000, 90 days in jail, on both parties if a tenant moves into a property without a permit being issued. City officials say they're trying to head off a rising problem with landlords moving in tenants who cause a nuisance. In other news this morning, a standoff yesterday in South St. Louis that lasted more than 7 hours ended with police using tear gas. Police say an argument between two neighbors Tuesday afternoon in the 3700 block of Gravois led to a gunshot being fired. When officers arrived on the scene, the suspect refused to come out of his home. Police waited and then tried negotiating well into the night before using tear gas to chase the male suspect and another subject from the home. No names have been released in that incident and no injuries have been reported. And a 16-year-old male and the two young males who took him from a North St. Louis County detention facility are still at large. Authorities say the two darkly clad young males approached a staff member at the Missouri Hills home in the 13,000 block of Bell Fountain Road just after midnight Tuesday morning. The two, with the weapon, forced their way into a cottage and then fled with the detainee on foot, authorities believe, to a waiting getaway vehicle. Authorities say they do not believe the 16-year-old who was in the facility was taken against his will. And that's this hour's WGNU News Report. I'm Peyton Colston for AM 920.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your final look at traffic and your weather for this 9 o'clock hour. Southbound 55 at Gasconade and 4500 South Broadway. There's an accident. Right lane is blocked. It's at 4500 South Broadway. Eastbound 44 from Berry through Elm. That accident's been cleared at Elm. Expect traffic to be easing. Now eastbound 70 from Highway 94 into the Blanchett Bridge. Look for that accident to have been cleared. It's east of the Blanchett Bridge. You may still see some residual slowdowns. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic, especially around the 44 interchange. Eastbound and westbound Chippewa at McCausland is closed due to a water main break. One lane is closed now. Northbound 270 St. Charles Rock Road, the left lane's closed due to maintenance operations. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well in the landing. Westbound Poplar Street Bridge traffic is running smoothly now. Eastbound 40 from the Boone Bridge all the way through Clarkson Valley, expect no delays. Eastbound 70 around the 270 interchange looks good. And northbound 270 at the 70 interchange is on the move. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 60. This evening, mostly clear, low in the mid-30s. Thursday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-50s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 30. Then on Friday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 39 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 43. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. And I do want to let you know that in the next, in the bottom of this hour, we're going to be talking to someone that you may have read about in the news. We're going to be talking to a person that was on the front line of the issue, Trita Parisi, who was on the front line of a secret report offer. Some people compare proposal, if you will, that was handed to Bush and his administration, that this report is something that many people are making the comparison to the 1972 U.S. opening with China. The Iranians, the top Iranian officials, gave a proposal to the United States about peace. They laid it out of what they would be willing to do and what they wouldn't be willing to do. It was a proposal for peace. Why did this administration lie about receiving that? Did this administration lie about it? And if they did, why? Was there an opportunity for diplomacy before Iran reached a critical point in its nuclear capacity? Was there an opportunity for diplomacy that was missed by this administration? Oh, I don't know. What are the odds? We're going to be talking to the person that was there, the person that saw the report, the person that read the report. And what this administration did with it, because right now, if you're paying attention to what's happening out in the world, we're sending carriers to Iran. We are carrier after carrier to Iran. We're trying to say this administration is trying to pick a fight, start a fight with the Iranians. That would be in their best interest. Oh, my goodness, we have so much stuff to talk about. You're going to have that conversation at the bottom of this half hour, of this hour. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Out of ink? Run into Office Depot. With over 500 ink, toner, and fat supplies guaranteed in-store and thousands more online, Office Depot has what you need at unbeatable prices. Save more by recycling empty ink and toner cartridges. When you think ink, let Office Depot lend you a hand. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
See store for details.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack. So check weather at yahoo.com. And then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show. Every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is your Congressman, Lacey Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to reelect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Reelect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Morning, Liz.
John, good morning.
I had to miss some of the show, so I don't know if somebody called in about this or not, but there's an ad running on your show about honoring the 7th District, the Police Department 7th District, and it just outraged me, so I just had to call and say something about it. This is the district that was involved in Jeremy Robinson's shooting, and I just can't see that this is the time to be honoring the 7th District.
And where are we in terms of what's going on with Jeremy? Because there are a number of things that you have taken up to Jefferson City on this issue of the Civilian Review Board. Because I think the Jeremy issue and what happened in that district is the reason why we need a Civilian Review Board.
Well, it is, and it seems, you know, it's a step-by-step process. What we found working, you know, in past years on Civilian Review is it was just very evident that we have an unresponsive police board, and in order to get a decent civilian review board, we first got to get local control of our department. And so I was up in Jeff City just yesterday, actually. I went up there to lobby on behalf of a bill for local control. And
was the response to the bill for local control?
I think I was very optimistic after talking to people yesterday. First off, I talked to several Kansas City legislators in the hopes of expanding the bill to include Kansas City as well as St. Louis, and I got a good favorable response. So I think that's, you know, a good sign for the bill. And we also found out that we've been assigned to a committee in the House, and the committee chairman assured me that we would have a hearing coming up probably in the next couple weeks. And so that was a good sign. And he said this is an outstate Republican legislator said to me, well, I think most of us are pretty well committed to giving St. Louis control of its department.
Wow.
I was real surprised to hear that and really encouraged by that.
Wow. Excellent.
So, but it's one of those things where, you know, they're going to be hearing from the other side, and they're going to need to hear from us as well.
And who's the other side of this issue, John?
Well, I know that the St. Louis Police Officers Association, when this bill was filed, they went kind of ballistic on their you know, talk chat rooms and all that.
Why wouldn't the police who live in the city of St. Louis want the city of St. Louis to be controlling the police department?
Well, you know, a lot of it was misinformation on their part, because the main concern that I get from them is that they are afraid that their pension will be robbed.
They don't trust Slay
to control the pay. Right?
They don't trust Slay.
I don't know why, what reason people might not trust him, hard to imagine.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, sometimes you do things in one area and other people are watching. They don't trust him. They think that he's going to be after their money. But one thing that we did in this bill was specifically exempt the pension and leave that in the hands of the state, just so that wouldn't be an issue. And so I think that as, you know, even the Police Officers Association, as they get educated to the specifics of this bill, I think they might.
So the pension fund is not included in this bill.
That's the only thing that would not be transferred from the state to the city is the pension fund. And that's a small part of the budget. I think, I looked it up. The police budget is something like $130 million, and the pension fund is about $6 or $8 million. Of that budget.
Very good.
A small part of that would be left up there.
So then, if when it comes out of committee, what can we expect?
Well, you know, we're hoping at that point to have an alliance with, you know, Kansas City legislators and start to build, you know, a majority. But I'm sure it's going to be a floor fight to get it through, and that's when we're going to have to stay in touch with folks and be emailing up there. And letting the voices be heard, because I think it's pretty much You know, well, it is. It's an overwhelming support for local control.
Excellent.
From St. Louis.
Excellent.
And they just need to know that.
Excellent.
And keep the pressure on. So one thing, we are, you know, signing up people as endorsers for that bill. And I want to make this point. You know, with Civilian Review, by the time we worked our campaign, we got everybody to say they were in favor of the concept of Civilian Review. And it's the same with local control. There's local control and there's local control. Now, this bill gives real local control to the city to define its own police department and structure it the way it wants. There was a bill in Jeff City last year that just gave the mayor the ability to appoint the police board. And people were calling that local control.
Mm.
But that's a long way from what we want. We, first of all, don't want to give the mayor that power. We want to spread it out among various power centers in the city so everybody's represented.
There you go.
And so as this thing progresses, I think that's one of the things we have to watch for is amendments that start to take this concept of local control and bend it in this direction or that.
Thanks so much, John.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
Liz Brown.
Hello on the car phone.
Did you happen to catch Mahmoud Adinejad talking to Diane Sawyer?
I did not.
Oh, you got to catch it. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
But you know, she asked him what was his feelings about the lynching of Saddam Hussein, and he just went into the fact that it was America that put him up to coming to attack us. So why should I comment?
Mm.
You know, why should I say anything?
Mm.
And then what about Keith Olbermann's piece where he showed 2002 George Bush talking about Iraq and 2007 George Bush talking about Iran.
Mm-hmm.
They compared them, and the boy basically he's saying the same thing now that he said in 2002 before they went in and attacked Iraq.
He's saying exactly the same thing.
Exactly.
He is saying exactly the same thing. There is a build-up. I mean, and the guest that I'm going to have on at the bottom of this hour, he was there. He read the report. He was there when the report, he has intimate knowledge of the report being handed over or the proposal being handed over. This is like the 1972 U.S. opening to China when Iran in 2003 gave a peace proposal to this administration.
Yep.
And what did they do with it?
Yeah, he's asked several times, look, let's dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk. If you were genuinely about peace, why wouldn't you say, all right, come on over here, let's talk about this. Let's see if we can come to some kind of something that we can put this whole situation at rest where we can truly have peace. But the Bush administration is not about peace.
And
people.
All they're interested in is giving out threats of how we're going to kick your so and so. That's all they want to talk about is we're going to kick your so and so if you don't do what I say. We're going to kick your so and so if you don't do what I say.
Except this morning when Secretary Gates ran into George's office saying, the British are leaving.
There you go.
The British are leaving.
There you go. The British ain't coming. The British are leaving.
And everybody else is leaving them, too.
Fact.
Dick Cheney is on his way to Australia to try to beg them to stay.
Uh-huh. Beg Australia to stay. They only have 7 people.
Well, that's all right. They need them.
Saying they're trying to beg Australia to stay? How pitiful is that? They're trying to beg Australia. Australia has 7 people in there.
Everybody's getting out of Dodge before sundown.
And man, they're getting out of Dodge with a timetable and a date, okay? We're leaving on Sunday at 7, okay? Now what? Now what? Okay?
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WG. And so much for the timetable theory. We can't let the enemy know the timetable we're going to be leaving because they'll take advantage. Tell me what they're going to do that they haven't been doing. Great Britain has a timetable. Dates, places, troops leaving. Oh, we out of here. And we're not going to turn the light off on our way out because we're leaving. We are leaving. The British are going. The British are going. The British are going. And what does this administration need? It needs another little war now. Shoot. If Great Britain is leaving, we need another little war. What's the what's the proof of that? Okay, let me see. Violent resistance within the U.S. occupation. It's the violence is accelerating, right? Blame it on Iran. Blame it on Iran. A major terror attack against U.S. interests, blamed on Iran. Remember, just recently, in testimony before the United States, the Bush administration is headed on a downhill track towards a head-on conflict with Iran and much of the world of Islam. And that conflict may begin with a major terrorist attack, either domestically or overseas, against Americans by Iran. That's what the recent testimony was taken to Washington, D.C. You want to know another piece of evidence? When Iraq and Iran diplomacy is characterized as terrorist interference by Iran. What, they can't talk? Oh, that's right. It's terrorists collaborating. My goodness gracious. Y'all ready for another war? I'm not. Especially with somebody that can fight back. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Good Lord, we have a lot to talk about. Good Lord, we have a lot to talk about. Stay with me.
Technology have benefited the field of criminal justice, and new jobs are emerging. How can you get involved? The ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue various career opportunities involving corrections, workplace security, and private investigations. Call now for an ITT Tech brochure. 800-ITT-3169. That's 800-ITT-3169. Not offered at every campus. Check the ITT Tech for a list of programs offered.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Thank you.
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget that the show is archived at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. If you've missed an hour, you can go get an hour. You can also go to lizbrown.com. We have much business to tend to. It seems like that we have an administration in this country who the only thing is on their mind is war. The only thing that is on their mind is war, and we need to talk about this. We're hearing rumblings. We're seeing actions. We're seeing boats being moved. We're seeing people being redeployed. We're hearing the ratcheting up of the rhetoric coming out of this administration about war with Iran. We're seeing the characterizations of relationships between Iraq and Iran being characterized as terrorist meetings in order to justify an attack on Iran. We need to talk about this. And this morning, to help facilitate this conversation, from one specific point in time, in 2003, the head of the National Iranian American Council, Trita Parsi, is joining us from Washington, D.C. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am outstanding. Trita, can you talk to us about what happened in 2003 with an Iranian proposal for negotiations? Talk to us about that.
Well, what happened in 2003 was that a proposal reached the United States via the Swiss ambassador to Tehran, who has been designated by the U.S. to be the caretaker of U.S. interest in Iran. The Iranians had given this ambassador a proposal that he then later on delivered to the United States. The origins of the proposal is somewhat under question, in the sense, was it a response to an American proposal or was it an Iranian-originated proposal? Regardless of what it was, it is still a very significant proposal, because what the Iranians did is that they offered the United States to negotiate within a framework in which they would discuss and seek a way to be able to cooperate with the United States against Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations. They would help the United States stabilize Iraq and establish a non-sectarian government there. They would help disarm the Hezbollah. They would end support for violent Palestinian groups. They would open up their nuclear issue, and they would even consider joining the Beirut Declaration and the Saudi peace plan, which would mean that they would indirectly recognize Israel. All of this was put on the table.
For negotiation.
For negotiation, was the framework of the negotiation. And what they wanted in return was an end to American sanctions, was an end to the hostilities of the United States towards Iran, a recognition of Iran's legitimate security interest in the region. And it was basically for the U.S. to give up policies that had probably been more costly to the U.S. than to Iran in return for all of those other things, which could have included fixing Iraq and making sure that we're not in the quagmire that we are in today, avoiding the war that occurred this past summer between Israel and Lebanon, because Hezbollah would have been disarmed. But the Bush administration did not even respond to the proposal.
How do we know that the White House ever got a copy of that?
Well, it was delivered by the Swiss ambassador to the State Department and to the National Security Council, in which, for instance, Colonel Wilkerson, who is Colin Powell's former chief of staff, he saw it. Armitage, the deputy secretary of state, he saw it. He's on record talking about it. Flint Leverett, who was in the National Security Council, he saw it. He's on record recognizing it. And also, Congressman Bob Ney of Ohio got a copy of it, and he sent it over to the White House to Karl Rove, and he got a call back from Karl Rove within 2 hours. So they did get it. There's no doubt about that, even though today Condoleezza Rice is denying that she received it. But she acknowledged having seen it 6 months ago in an NPR interview. But there's these conflicting views and statements by the White House is only working to reduce the White House's own credibility.
And you have a special view of what's happening here, or you've been involved in this.
Well, I was advising the congressman, Congressman Bob Ney, on foreign policy matters at the time. And he has had a long-term interest in Iran because he used to live in Iran before the revolution. He was the only Farsi-speaking member of Congress. So he has, since 1997, argued that there needs to be some sort of a dialogue and contact between the two countries because we're just not going to be able to solve our problems unless we talk. So when he received this, he was quite excited, and he thought that, you know, this could actually lead to a breakthrough. And he delivered it to Karl Rove, wanted to make sure that the White House did get it, and they did, because Rove called back within 2 hours.
And some people are making a comparison of this proposal by the Iranian government as similar to the 1972 U.S. opening to China. Would you go that far?
I would go that far in as to say that the proposal is more substantive than what was discussed with China. We don't know what the end result would have been, clearly. However, we do know that by not pursuing it, we ended up in a very, very bad situation. I think this would, at a minimum, have been something that should have been pursued, should have been explored, should have been tried, and the White House did not even bother to do so. And I think that's quite problematic because we're paying the price for that arrogance right now.
Had this administration described Iran as one of the axis of evil at this point?
Yes, this is about a year and a half after the administration had referred to Iran, put them into the axis of evil. And they did so actually 3 or 4 weeks after Iran had been extremely helpful to the United States in Afghanistan in setting up the new government over there. I think we have to be clear about a couple of things. The United States has several very, very legitimate problems with Iran and Iranian behavior, both externally as well as what Iran is doing inside Iran, what the government is doing inside of Iran. But we have not been able to resolve any of those problems or make any headway, any progress in advancing U.S. national interests by not talking, by only pursuing military options and by pursuing economic sanctions and isolation. And here was a golden opportunity to be able to get a lot of concessions from the Iranians, and the White House passed.
Why?
I think at the time, the White House felt extremely confident. They felt that they had defeated Saddam in 3 weeks, and rather than making a compromise and negotiating with Iran, they felt that they could have won their full goals, maximalist goals, by simply taking out the government in Iran. They thought that they could expand the war into Iran, basically.
But was there ever a follow-up statement from the government of Iran that, okay, we take our proposal off the table?
No, there was never any such thing, and I think that would be surprising if they would have done so. I think from the Iranian perspective, this was rather embarrassing for them. They had made a significant offer, and they did not even receive a response to it. So for them, I think it was more about, okay, let's forget this, and let's hope that no one ever finds out that we made this offer and got humiliated in the way that they got by having the Bush administration not respond to them.
But can it be assessed as a humiliation today, 3 years later?
It still is a humiliation in many ways. Even though the United States is in a weaker position, it's not as if this has been benefiting Iran that the U.S. didn't negotiate. I think it's been to the detriment of the entire world that there has not been any negotiations, and that the Bush administration has been so uneager to pursue diplomacy.
Why would Condoleezza Rice, because the Congress questioned her about this proposal. One, why was Congress so concerned about questioning her about this proposal? And secondly, why would she say that she hadn't seen it? And if she hasn't seen it, can we draw a conclusion from that?
Well, on the first question, why Congress is pursuing this, just because Congress finally is starting to ask some serious questions and trying to take a role in what the U.S., what the Bush administration's foreign policy has been so far. A lot of these new members of Congress were voted in precisely because they opposed the war in Iraq. And now when they're in Congress, they have to live up to that promise and make sure that they act on it instead of just getting in there. Why Condoleezza Rice is denying that she ever seen it? Because I think it's extremely embarrassing for the Bush administration at this point, in which they have dragged the country into the complete disaster in Iraq, that they now are confronted with the fact that they were actually given a very, very good proposal by the Iranians 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and that they didn't even respond to it.
But isn't it a little worse than that from the perspective of the demonization that has gone on about Iran? despite them having a copy of this proposal that said, look, we'll address all of the issues that you want about this, basically.
Absolutely. I mean, it's clearly very embarrassing. It shows that the Bush administration has not been upfront about its policies. It shows that when it's been saying that it's pursuing diplomacy, it has not pursued diplomacy. It has demonized a country that, by the way, does cause a lot of problems. I mean, I don't think this should be to the defense of Iran, but nevertheless, what this is about is the Bush administration doing the best job in protecting national interests of the United States? It clearly is not when it's been given a proposal like this and completely ignores it. And 3-4 years later, we're in the worst situation that we ever could have dreamed of in Iraq. As to the, you had a third question as well of what, after the question of why she denied it.
Oh, my third question was, what should we make of the fact that this has been done?
I think what we should make of this fact is that we have to understand that the Bush administration is not really interested in diplomacy unless it is forced to pursue diplomacy by the American people and the U.S. Congress. Because when the United States has been in a strong position, the Bush administration has reasoned that because of their strength, they don't need to negotiate. Today, they're arguing that they're in a weak position, and as a result, they cannot negotiate because they're weak. So if we can't negotiate when we're strong, and we can't negotiate when we're weak, that basically says that you're not interested in negotiations.
And the other piece of this is about them not being interested in negotiations, or is it about the plan all along to go after Iran?
I think there's been, I think these two are very closely related. You don't negotiate if you want to leave the option for a confrontation open. And that is part of what is happening here, I think. I think many of the neoconservative elements in the White House believe that in order to confirm and sustain the United States' position of dominance in the Middle East, they need to be able to weaken countries such as Iran that are in a position to be able to challenge the U.S.'s dominating position. And that's why you want to keep the option open for a military confrontation.
Now, what would happen, Trita, if the United States actually started a war with Iran?
Well, I think as we're looking at the disaster in Iraq, if we could imagine, and I'm not sure we can, but if we could imagine that, but about 30 times worse, that would be the scenario of going to war with Iran.
Because Iran is better situated to fight back than Iraq was, aren't they?
Absolutely. They have a more sophisticated army. They have a much larger country. They have a population 3 times the size of Iraq. They have a government that, even though it is extremely unpopular internally, it is a government that people would rally around if there is an external threat. That has been proven over and over again.
And don't we also have 3-4 years of the understanding of that this is the United States' fault, that this administration wants to start war with everybody? This administration went in and preemptively struck against Iraq, rally around the country against the United States. It's all been laid out.
I think it's extremely problematic that the Bush administration has not pursued diplomacy in almost any of these cases.
We need to,
I think this is what,
Trita, we need to take a break.
Thank you so much.
Okay, hold on for 1 second. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. My name is Liz Brown. We'll get to some of your calls as well. Stay with me. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top 6 appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Aldermanic Watch to the award-winning wake-up calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the host of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a style. And so I came to see him and listen for a while.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is Trita Parsi, the head of the National Iranian American Council, joining us from Washington, D.C., and I want to get to some of our calls. Kevin, you have a question for our guest.
Yes, Liz, I would like to ask your guest, what legitimate grievances do we have against Iran? And could I comment on?
Sure. Hold on.
Thank you for that caller. I think we do have a couple of legitimate grievances against Iran. I think first and foremost, the human rights record of the Iranian government is quite abysmal, and there are a lot of problems inside of that country. Now, we may not say that that is in our national interest, but it's still something that I think we should be concerned about. Beyond that, I think the Iranians have, over the last two decades, supported asymmetrical warfare in a way that has not been positive for the region. That doesn't necessarily mean that the U.S. has taken on a very positive position either, but it does mean that there are a lot of concerns that we need to talk to them about. At the same time, there's a lot of common interest. One thing that people tend to forget because of the demonization of the Bush administration of Iran is the fact that Iran is actually the country that has been most helpful in supporting the Iraqi government, whereas states such as Saudi Arabia, et cetera, have not been very helpful at all, have not given any money or helped develop the Iraqi state and make sure that it can be stabilized. The Iranians have actually been very forthcoming in doing so. They never get credit for it, though, and even though the United States understands that this is a thing that the Iraqis themselves appreciate, it is turning a blind eye to everything that has been useful that Iran has done.
So I'm not hearing that there are any specific American interest in Iraq outside, American interest?
Are you saying that there's nothing that Iran has done that has been problematic to the U.S.?
Right. That would cause us to have to justify going after this country.
Well, it depends on what you mean going after this country. If we are in a situation in which the Bush administration, like today, is basically looking for a war, then I would agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything at this stage that in any way, shape, or form would justify a war. However, I think we do have legitimate concerns in being able to worry about how can we make sure that Iran does not get a nuclear weapon, that inspections can be effective, and that we can ensure that nuclear weapons are not spread throughout the rest of the Middle East. Has the Bush administration pursued a constructive approach towards that? I don't believe so. I think they have made the situation much worse. They're not just distrusting Iran. They're just distrusting the IAEA and the inspections regime.
Well, they're demonizing everybody that gets in the way of the agenda. because there was a demonization of the inspection process and the buildup to Iraq as well.
Exactly, exactly. And it's the IAEA is squeezed right now. IAEA is the best organization to be able to ensure through their inspections, through the additional protocol, that Iran is not diverting from a peaceful program into a military program.
Do they have, from your perspective, does Iran have the same right to a peaceful usage of nuclear technology as any other country does?
Of course, Iran has the right to nuclear energy, peaceful nuclear energy, that is guaranteed by the Non-Proliferation Treaty.
Then they're a member of that.
They're a member of that. Mm-hmm. Article 4 of that says that Iran has an inalienable right to research and develop nuclear energy. The traditional interpretation of that clause is that that includes enrichment. The only few countries that disagree with that is basically the United States, some European countries, and Israel. And Israel itself is not even a part of the NPT.
That's right.
So Iran certainly has a right to that. But that, on the other hand, doesn't mean that just because Iran has a right, the outside world should not be concerned. There are good reasons to be concerned. The question is, are we pursuing those concerns in a constructive way? And right now, I don't think the Bush administration is doing that at all.
All right, let me get to another caller. Kevin, did that address your question?
No, not really, because it sounds to me, that's extremely racist. The only people that can carry a nuclear weapon are white European men. That's the only people, powerful white European men. And we're not talking about that. Why shouldn't they have a nuclear weapon? That's the only way you fight a European male.
Thanks for your call. Do you get to the caller's point with that, Drita?
Well, I think when it comes to the idea that everyone should basically have a nuclear weapon, I just don't think we would create a stable world in which we would have less warfare than we currently have. I think it's absolutely correct to point out that there's a lot of bullying taking place from the Western world towards a lot of countries in the third world. But just because we oppose that doesn't necessarily mean that we should be in favor of spreading nuclear weapons, because that's just going to make things even worse. So we have to find a constructive, smart way of being able to resolve these conflicts while avoiding a nuclear world and while avoiding the type of bullying that is taking place right now.
And again, when you're sitting here and somebody is telling you you can't have something, but they're letting other people that shouldn't, Israel hasn't even signed on to the agreements, and yet the world knows they have them as well.
The world knows that they have them. The Israeli prime minister basically admitted as much about it.
But we don't see the world with the same fixation on Israel with theirs.
Not at all. And not only that, Israel is a country that is at war with a lot of its neighbors.
There you go.
Iran has not invaded a country for 200 years. So if the question is there a double standard? Absolutely there's a double standard. There's a tremendous amount of double standards. And the United States is not pursuing a policy that is increasing its credibility and legitimacy.
Do you think that most Americans would be shocked to when you make the comparison of, well, the Iranians haven't invaded anybody in that many years, and Israel has. You think most Americans would really be stunned about that?
I think a lot of Americans would be surprised by that, but I would also caution against drawing the conclusion that just because of that, we should not be concerned about any potential program in Iran. I think we have to be careful with what is going on over there, and we have to be careful what is going on in Israel, etc. Instead of arguing that, hey, just because Israel has it, Iran should also have it, the argument should rather be we should make sure that no one has it, and we should make sure that we ourselves get rid of our nuclear weapons.
Fair enough. 1-877-920-WGNU. Jay, you have a question for our guest.
Yes, I got a couple of things. I want to get something straight here for a minute. I want to say about the atomic bomb. If you ask me, the United States shouldn't have no atomic weapons, and I'm going to tell you why. The history of the atomic bomb that's ever been used on any country, United States had used it on Japan. And they just had their 50th anniversary about the atomic bomb.
Jay,
I think that was a couple of years ago.
Jay, we have 4 minutes here. Can you get a question for our guest, please?
Yes. Why should any country have the atomic weapon?
All right.
It should be all of it should be destroyed because one thing, to even come up with the idea.
Okay, I got to let that be the question. Thank you, Jay. And Trita, to the why should anybody have a nuclear weapons?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand the question, that the argument that we should get rid of all of them?
Yes.
Well, I think that's an argument that a lot of people would agree with. I think by now we've reached a situation it's difficult to argue that the nuclear weapons are stabilizing this world. I think it's reached a position in which it started to become the opposite. The argument that countries such as Britain is using to justify their nuclear weapons is to say, we're not at war with any country, so it's safe for us to have it. I think it's a very, very hollow argument. It is used by Britain and other countries to be able to sustain their position in the international system in which they're a very dominating country, even though they, without the nuclear weapon, probably would not have that same type of a position.
Mm. Montega, you have a question for my guest, Trita Parsi. Montega?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Quickly,
okay,
please.
I'll be very quick. What can we take from the appointment of Bob Gates to the Secretary of Defense? We know he's an unindicted conspirator with the Iran-Contra affair. I'll take the answer off the air.
Thank you.
Well, I think actually Gates' replacement of Rumsfeld has been received by a lot of people in Washington as positive news because Rumsfeld was so adamant about avoiding diplomacy, and Gates is on the record on numerous occasions saying that he is in favor of negotiations with Iran and other countries.
Does that simply reflect a lowering of standards, or is Gates a good selection?
I wouldn't go so far to say that it's a lowering of standards. I think the problem, though, is that Gates is in an administration that has been proven itself to be quite an advocate in its foreign policy. And the question is, will he be able to have the clout to be able to turn it around and do the right things, or is he going to be forced to adjust himself to the administration's line? If the latter happens, then obviously his appointment will have proven to be quite irrelevant.
Should we be at all concerned about his history with the Iran-Contra affair?
I think we should be more concerned about what the administration is doing than what Gates did 20 years ago. What happened during the Contras affair, which obviously has already been dealt with extensively, was at the end of the day an effort by some elements in the U.S. government to be able to negotiate.
And that's going to have to be the last word. Trita Parsi, head of the National Iranian American Council, joining us from Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back same place, same time tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening, and you know the drill. Stay strong.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever.